much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Mr. President! Mr. President! Mr. President! Mr. President! Mr. President! Mr. President! How's it going?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
You've been playing music for all your life.
Yeah.
Almost. Do you ever... I played a little bit of music. Not as intense as you did. I never toured or anything like that. Just... Do you ever find monotony?
Does it hurt your brain to be that stupid?
Was that a joke? Were you joking just now? Because if so, that was hilarious. Lee. Awful. Lee. Funny. How bad that was.
And now...
Let me ask you a question. I have a question. I'm going to take a long, short quiz here. How many people are doing really well today? Can we have some thumbs up for all those that are doing well? Yay!
Our feature presentation.
I did not see any thumbs up.
Nope. Know what she's talking about. False positive there. Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean show. It's a Monday morning.
What's crackolating, people?
You know.
Yep, that. That's exactly
anyone,
it.
Anyone do anything fun over the weekend?
Yeah.
What?
Bachelor Muggs party. Went to a bachelor party in Vegas.
Oh, that's right.
I'm surprised he's back. I figured we'd call and he'd be in a bush again.
Seriously. How was that, Muggs?
I was actually almost in a bush yesterday morning. I didn't go to bed. I just stayed up.
Sweet.
All night.
Well, today's going to go well then,
yeah.
I'm guessing.
I'm feeling good.
No, Muggs is one of those guys you can barely tell if he's had no sleep.
Right. That's true.
He just plays odd.
He hides it well.
All right. Well, listen, I couldn't decide this morning between two stories, so I'm going to let you guys decide which one you like best. You can either have the North Dakota man who is being criminally charged with adultery.
Okay.
Adultery.
Or you can have the woman who is suing Match.com because of a bad dating experience.
I think I'm going to have to go suing for adultery.
Me too.
Okay. You don't hear about this very often, do you?
Is that a mixture of both stories? The suing part? Go ahead. The adultery
yeah,
one.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, no, he's being charged with adultery.
Yes.
It was a little bit, yeah. You couldn't decide.
Right.
You don't see this very often, but when you really break it down and think about it, a marriage is a contract between two people to a certain extent. I can see the interpretation of that.
Right.
But is it a legal binding document? If you break the vows of your marriage, should you be criminally sued? Most states have decided no, although there are still quite a few states that have the statute on the books, but it just hasn't been used. In fact, this is the first time in over 30 years that someone has been charged with adultery in North Dakota.
Wow.
His name is Matthew. This is going to be a tough name. Stasiolatos. He is 23 years old, probably Greek, I'm guessing, from that name, being charged with adultery for allegedly having a sexual relationship with somebody other than his wife in November and December of last year. According to court documents, his wife, Heather, found out about the affair through law enforcement officers. Now, I sure wish I knew more about that. Like,
yeah.
How did that come to be, that she didn't discover it on her own, like nosy women do? I mean... When asked what she could do about the situation, the officer told her that she could file for a divorce or she could get a state's attorney to charge her husband with adultery. Apparently, it is a Class A misdemeanor punishable by up to 1 year in prison and fines of up to $1,000. Adultery charges must be brought within 1 year of the time of the offense. And you cannot bring this charge if information is disclosed about sexual acts with another person during a divorce, separation, or annulment case. In other words, if it comes out in those terms, It's not eligible for adultery charges, which is weird also, right?
Yeah.
Only the spouse can sign the complaint. She wanted to sign the complaint against her husband, which is unusual because victims don't get to make the charging decisions in any other crimes. This is the only one where that person gets to decide whether a criminal charge is brought. Usually that's left up to the prosecutor's
office. This is all shaky.
Isn't it weird?
Yeah. It's like there's something left over on the books, but only like 3/4 of it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we talk all the time about crazy laws around the country. California has plenty of laws that are still on the books. You know, you can't walk a buffalo down the street in Sacramento and stuff like that because they just never bother to take them off the books, even though they're not ordinarily used. But the guy was arrested and put in jail and booked and released on bail, and now he's going to court. And it'll be interesting to see whether whether the judge looks at it and says, "Well, this is the law of our state, and you're guilty, and I'm going to sentence you," or if he's going to say, "I don't think this is a good law, and I'm going to, basically set it aside." I don't know what's going to happen. But I don't, my opinion is I don't think we need to be putting people in jail for adultery, right?
Well, the jails are wide open.
That's a good point.
So we do have the facilities.
That's true. We do have the room for it. It does seem to me like that's the kind of thing that's maybe best settled just between the two people involved.
Yeah, I would think so, too.
So it'd be interesting to see what happened. But how ticked was Heather?
Oh, very.
Yeah.
You do not want to cross Heather.
It's not enough that I'm going to divorce you, Matthew. Now I'm going to try to send you to prison. 23-year-old Matthew. Come on.
Come on now.
So good times.
Let's talk about this morning's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Manti, that just really doesn't make sense to me.
We have Sam. We're in the studio today from the TV show Being Human.
Now, he's a vampire.
That's correct.
Okay. And he plays one on TV, too.
Yes.
Okay.
Andrew Siciliano talking about the Super Bowl this weekend and that fantastic Pro Bowl yesterday. Mm-hmm. Woo!
Didn't turn it on for 1 second.
I turned it on only because I was bored.
Yeah.
And it did not cure my boredom.
I heard that my man Russell Wilson threw 3 touchdowns, though.
He did.
Which I was very excited about.
He was amazing.
Yeah, he's great.
We also have Earl Martinez, who is Bean's butt buddy, and we're going to talk to him about...
dare you? I've never met the man.
Needing a kidney.
Well, he's coming to the wrong guy then.
Yeah, that's true.
I can't help him. Sorry, Earl.
He's not a homeless guy, but was holding a sign like you would see a homeless guy saying needs a kidney.
Mm-hmm.
And did it work?
Well, apparently. I don't know if he got the if he's on the list and he's got some potentials based around that came from that sign or not, but
I guess we'll find out. But how smart is that? I mean, look, there are thousands of people on the list waiting for organ transplants, and we never hear about any of them.
That's
but
true.
This guy really gets your attention if he stands out in traffic with a sign. And, you know, look, here we are talking to him. So it's very smart, I guess, of Earl.
Beer Mug's red carpet interviews.
Yeah. Excellent.
Which I'm sure are really top-notch.
Can't wait.
So that's coming today as well. Harvey Levin from TMZ, we will talk to him. We've got your tickets for the premiere and the concert for Sound City, which is the movie and concert that Dave Grohl was talking about on our show a week or two ago. And we also have LaQuisha talking about Buck Wild.
Bless her heart.
Love that. She's probably super happy about it.
I'm sure.
And Frankie Edgar, little fellow by the name of Frankie Edgar, former lightweight champ of UFC, will be in our studio today to talk about the fight this weekend.
Beer Mug says he's a pussy, by the way.
I heard him say that as well.
I heard him say that, too. No, he said he could kick his ass.
Lisa said that.
Yeah. So we got that coming, and we'll take a break, and we will come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat next.
Just announced, by the way, K-Rock's World Tour 2013 destination number 4, Mumford & Sons, Kevin.
Yes?
In Amsterdam.
Oh.
Pretty sweet deal, right?
Yeah, but we're going to send a listener to Amsterdam. They're never
coming. I know. Well, this is just one way. This is the only one-way destination we've ever done. Anyway, you can qualify for that this morning at 9:10 and win Mumford's latest album called Babel. That's all on the way. Or is it Babel? Did we ever decide which one it was?
It's Babel.
Babel. All right, Babel it is. Then.
Yeah, we found out from Mumford and his sons when we did Breakfast With.
I was not there, so I appreciate the clarification on that. Yeah. All right, Ralph is here joining us on a Monday morning for our first look at the Showbiz Beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
It is a Monday morning. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the weekend box office to see what made money and what was Broken City. Number one this weekend, Hansel and Gretel, Witch Hunters. In its debut, as expected, came in at number one, although not a big vote of confidence for that film. $19 million made it number one.
Well, everyone wanted to stay home for the Pro Bowl, Ralph.
Sure, yeah, it's a big Pro Bowl weekend. Mama was number two, $12.9 million. Then Silver Linings Playbook, Zero Dark Thirty, and the new Jason Statham film Parker, opening up with $7 million, was number five. Django Unchained was sixth. Movie 43, the star-studded, crazy, R-rated sketch comedy movie, only made $5 million this weekend. Made it number seven at the box office.
I saw stories over the weekend of theaters where people were literally walking out. Could not even survive the whole movie.
Really?
It was that bad, yeah.
Gangster Squad was eighth. Broken City was ninth. And then Les Mis, rounding out the top 10 at the box office. Maybe everybody was staying home to get ready for their big SAG Award parties, as people are wont to do on Sunday night when the SAG Awards are being held. They get together with their loved ones and their family, and they get their fondue pots out, and they make their highballs, and they sit back, and they watch the SAG Awards.
We give each other presents.
A big SAG Eve party I went to. The SAG Awards of the Screen Actors Guild were handed out last night at the Hollywood Shrine Auditorium, both for TV and movies. This is actors giving other actors awards for good acting. And here's who won. Best male actor in a supporting role, Tommy Lee Jones for Lincoln. Tommy couldn't be there last night because apparently his scowl got caught in the doorway on his way out, and he got hooked on a doorknob or something. He couldn't get free. Female actor in a supporting role, Anne Hathaway for Les Mis. Male actor in leading role, Daniel Day-Lewis for Lincoln. Female actor in leading role, Jennifer Lawrence for Silver Linings Playbook. And then best cast in a motion picture went to Argo. So no real surprises when it came to the movies. During the SAG Awards last night for TV, again, Kevin Costner won for best male actor in a TV movie or miniseries. Julianne Moore also again won for her role as Sarah Palin in Game Change. Male actor in a comedy series, Alec Baldwin won for like the 97th time in a row last night. For 30 Rock, Tina Fey also got the nod for 30 Rock for Best Female Actor in a Comedy Series. Those are sort of goodbye and thank you awards for, in fact, they're going off the air. Best Ensemble Cast in a Comedy Series, Modern Family got the award. Claire Danes won for Best Actor, Female Actor in a Drama Series. Best Male Actor in a Drama Series went to Bryan Cranston. Best Ensemble in a Drama Series, Downton Abbey Season 2. And then the Lifetime Achievement Award was given to Dick Van Dyke, and all of Dick's friends were sick. So no one was there to really be nice to him. Yeah, Carl Reiner was supposed to be there to talk about the original Dick Van Dyke show, and Mary Tyler Moore, his co-star of that show, was supposed to come by, and they all had the flu, and nobody showed up. So.
Oh, or wow. Dick's a dick, and no one wants to hang out with him.
Dick is not a dick. He's one of the best people in the world. And he's in his 80s, but he was, like, jumping up on stage and, like, moving and grooving and dancing. I was surprised at how spry he looked. He was the tannest man in the room, too. I don't know what's going on there.
He certainly was.
He is not afraid of the sun. That's all I know about Dick.
You know a lot more than that.
What the? And take this as a cautionary tale, boys and girls. Do not cheat on your hot model wife with a surly, talentless young actress.
Uh-oh. I was going to do that.
If I've said that once, I've said it 100 times.
I've never heard you say it, but go ahead.
Rupert Sanders, the director of Snow White and the Huntsman, who had that affair with Kristen Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this weekend it cost him his marriage. His model wife, Liberty Ross, filed for divorce from her husband on Friday, and she wants joint custody of the kids and spousal support, so it's going to cost him money and love and time and all kinds of important things. So it's all over. And then to cap off the weekend, Liberty Ross released a very naked photo shoot of herself on the internet.
Really?
Yeah, the photos were taken for an issue of something called Love Magazine. I'm not familiar with Love Magazine. But is her just in some very sexy black and white pictures that were all over the internet by the end of the weekend. So she said, screw you, I want a divorce. And by the way, this is what you're never going to have sex with again.
And to everybody else, I'm single.
Business is open for business. Take a number.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
Let me ask a question of the woman. What's your...
It's Lisa May.
Laura? Yes, Lisa, right.
It would be Lisa.
Is it worse if your husband cheats on you with a little boy like Kristen Stewart, or if he cheats on you with somebody who's like super hot and way out of your league?
That's a good question.
I think it's just more surprising. I kind of had this situation in my life where someone that I was seeing was really good friends with a girl, but she was such a boy that I never worried about all the time they spent together until I caught them together.
What?
And then I was just, it wasn't more insulting. I was just like, really?
Yeah.
Because
if she's super hot, you could go, look, it's wrong and he shouldn't have done it. But at least I understand the temptation there, right? Because she's so attractive. But in the case of Kristen Stewart, though, Liberty Ross, who's so much prettier than Kristen Stewart, has to just look at this and go, why?
But you're not factoring in Kristen Stewart's personality.
Yeah,
she could win a fella over just with her charm and her bubbly, vivacious nature. She's just somebody you want to be around. You just want to spend time with her because she brings so much light and love into a room. When she enters,
actually, none of that is true.
Oh, my bad. Yeah, that's hard to understand.
My God, she's unappealing.
That's right.
It's very true.
I think that's our point.
And all you Mickey Rourke fans out there, please, please pull your heads out of the ovens, take the nooses from around your necks. It's okay. Mickey Rourke is not dead, as was reported over the weekend. Another one of those internet hoaxes. There was an online hoax that said Mickey Rourke had perished during a snowboarding accident in Switzerland. Why is it always a snowboarding accident somewhere in the Alps?
Someone has a fabulous time doing this.
It's the same freaking hoax every time. They just plug in a different name. Last time it was Eddie Murphy in a snowboarding accident in Switzerland. Right. First of all, Eddie Murphy's not snowboarding in Switzerland.
No.
And neither is Mickey Rourke.
Neither is Mickey Rourke.
Come up with a new reason why someone died. It's ridiculous. Today's celebrity birthdays. Arielle Winter. We were just talking about the cast of Modern Family. She plays the youngest daughter on that show. She is 15 years old today.
Elijah. Oh, sorry. I was thinking of the other daughter when I gave the bell, I guess.
Yeah, well, you're a creepy dude. Elijah Wood from Wilfred and, of course, the Lord of the Rings trilogy. He is 32 years old. Joey Fatone from NSYNC. He celebrates his 36th birthday. Catherine Morris, she was the star of Cold Case. Loved that show back when it was on, 44 years old. Sarah McLachlan, oh, save me your dying puppies, won't you, Sarah? Enough with that commercial, for God's sakes. She's 45 years old. Anthrax guitarist Dan Spitz is 50 years old. And Alan Alda, another TV treasure. He was Hawkeye, of course, on MASH for many, many years. He is 77 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Harvey Levin from TMZ.com joins us in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Before we get to Harvey, though, real quick, jump on the phone. Give us a call, 1-800-520-1067. It's time for another Kevin and Bean scientific survey, but we can't tell you what the topic is because we need five people who are not predisposed to call because they have an opinion to already be on the line when we bring it up. So 1-800-520-1067. Call right now if you want to be part of the jury. Help us settle an issue here this morning. King of Mexico is in. I'm glad Dave is here as we wait for the calls to get on hold because whenever Kevin goes to a concert that I'm interested in hearing details about, he has none. I'll say to Kevin, hey, you saw Muse. Tell me about the show. And he's like, oh, it was good. And that's about the extent of Kevin's descriptive abilities go when it comes to a concert. No details whatsoever about the show.
Well, but what kind of details do you want from a show?
Like what they played, what they were
played
doing
their songs,
what the stage was like, what the lights were like, if they said anything interesting, if there were any special guest stars, who'd you see in the crowd? I mean, there's a million things that can be answered to that question.
No guest, played a lot of The Second Law, played a lot of old hits, pyramids, lots of TVs, dancing monsters,
See, I could have said all that.
A lot of lasers. Incubus was there on Saturday night.
That's pretty Steven good information.
Tyler. Yeah, but he had Incubus and Steven Tyler. I had nobody.
Yeah, Russell Martin, the baseball player.
Russell Martin?
Martin. Yeah, Mark, was it Mark Trumbo and Mike Trout from the Angels. Yeah, a bunch of people.
So good times.
No, good times.
No covers or no surprises in the songs, though.
No, but what's his name? Matt just threw his guitar into Dom's drum set like two songs before the finale.
Sweet. Really?
And I was like, ooh, that was an angry
He did
throw.
Play the national anthem.
Yeah,
that was cool. Talking to him about that.
Which he told us he was.
Yeah.
All right, good times. Well, Muse is, they're gone now, but they'll be back, and you should see them because they really are one of the great live bands of all time. All right, the reason Dave is here and the reason we have these people on hold and the reason we're going to take calls to see whether we should do this or not is Dave came with us on Friday at the right after the show with a pitch for a guest on the show. Dave, you want to recap briefly for our listeners?
Well, you know, after the show, I make pitches, and one of them just happened to be Dan Schachner from The Puppy Bowl.
And, the Puppy Bowl? What's
yes,
he do?
Exactly. So I pitch this because this is a pretty, you know, pop culture event that's a, you know, during the Super Bowl. And I know you would enjoy it, and I knew Kevin would enjoy it, but I think it's a relevant pitch that we should talk to this guy about.
There's no guys in the Puppy Bowl, is there?
It's all puppies.
Okay,
but
so
he's
who
a referee.
Are we talking to?
He's the referee.
He's a referee for the Puppy Bowl.
Yeah.
Now, let me just butt in here and say there are a lot of things that you can ignore. and your stance is, I don't care because I don't watch it and I'm not interested. But when somebody else that you work with,
Bean,
is super obnoxious about how much they like it.
I'm not obnoxious about it. I'm just enthusiastic because the Puppy Bowl is the greatest TV show in the history of television.
But you're right. That's not obnoxious.
But here's why I'm pitching it, Kevin. Because when you say Puppy Bowl to like someone like Lisa, what do you say?
I love the Puppy
See?
Bowl.
Chicks dig it.
Yeah, chicks dig it. I know.
Cat Corbett was melting when I had the puppy cam up.
Bean and Chicks.
Yes.
Okay. But here's the point.
Chicks.
But here's the point. Bean's like, I love the Puppy Bowl. Puppies. Puppies. I love the
because,
Puppy Bowl.
Because there's what's better than watching puppies run around
a lot
on
of
your
things.
TV?
Watching the Super Bowl.
Well, this year they have Beyonce.
Better.
So
well, you
it's,
can do
it's
that
tough.
Too.
It's tough.
So Bean's enthusiasm for the Puppy Bowl drives me crazy. Now, there's actually a pitch to talk to a referee because a referee needs to be there because the puppies might break a rule in their attempt
to
win
the
Puppy Bowl.
It's puppy football.
That's stupid. It's puppy stupid.
He has a gold-plated pooper scooper.
Come on.
I want to know what he does. I want to know what he does during the Puppy
Bowl. I don't want to have any information about this guy because it's dumb.
The puppies play a safe, clean game.
Because the puppies are known in their enthusiasm for winning for cheating. They don't even know they're playing this game,
you know,
Dave.
Puppies, man. They could get crazy and bite each other. Bean knows
All right.
That.
So the Puppy Bowl referee is being pitched. Do we want to talk to him on the Kevin Amin Show? That's the question we put to the jury. It is a Kevin Amin scientific survey.
It's time for Kevin and Bean's scientific survey.
Now, I don't know how we decided years ago that five calls is all we needed to decide any item. So we could take as few as three if they all go the same way, yes or no. Let's start with Bob. He's on line one. He can help us decide whether we're going to have the Puppy Bowl ref on. Hi, Bob. Good morning.
No.
Good man. Good man, Bob.
Right to the point. One.
Sweet.
I wish we had time to find out why Bob hates America, but let's move on to Gus on line two.
So you see what I mean by Bean's enthusiasm? He ruins everything. All right, Gus, hi.
Hey, Gus.
Hey, absolutely not.
Yes!
I heard absolutely. Now, hold on a second, Gus.
I heard absolutely.
Wow! Tell me why, Gus.
Hold on a second. I just want to hear
why. Why, Gus?
I could take a dog show for about 5 minutes, and that's about it.
Same here.
But this year they have a kitten halftime show, and they have hedgehog cheerleaders.
See?
Did you know about the hedgehog cheerleaders, Gus?
I did not.
But you guys
think about that.
But you guys all see my point, which is that I love puppies, but the Puppy Bowl's dumb.
I don't think you love
and
puppies.
Bean's enthusiasm for the Puppy Bowl is what drives me crazy.
You and Gus are Taliban. So far we got two no's. Can we go to Desiree on line four? Can I at least get one woman on the phone here?
If you want to stack the vote, sure. We usually go in order, but do it however you want.
Desiree, welcome to the Kevin Beach Show. Yes or no on the Puppy Bowl ref?
Sorry, I went to the wrong line. Desiree, hi.
Hi, yes.
Yeah! Yes!
All right, thank you, Desiree. All right, 2-1. Now let's go to Mo. Mo's on line five.
Hey, Mo.
No.
Good man.
Oh! Oh!
Good man. Good man.
Oh!
You're the best.
So right. Mo just killed the chances of our audience enjoying a Puppy Bowl referee interview. He's the final
and
deciding.
And by enjoying that, you mean tuning away from that.
How dare you?
You can watch the Puppy Bowl on your own time. You don't have to force it
but
on
we
us.
We had questions.
You don't have any questions.
Gold-plated pooper scooper.
Yeah, where did that come from?
Hey, that's
he has
great.
A whistle. I hope the puppies find and kill and eat Mo. That's what I hope. We always look forward to catching up with our friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com every Monday morning, bright and early. The news beat never stops over there, Harvey. You got stuff every minute, it seems like, including this late-breaking Taye Diggs story. Good morning.
Yeah, I mean, the reason why I had to get up in the middle of the night.
Uh-huh. Oh, he's the reason why?
Well, no, I mean, we got the call and, you know, it was late.
Yeah.
Anyway, here's what happened.
Harvey, aren't you a big enough deal that you have people that get up in the middle of the night and call someone else?
Yeah, what I do is I wake up my people.
Ah. I got
you.
Ah,
you got
gotcha.
It.
I got
gotcha.
You.
Yeah, that's it.
Now, Taye Diggs, who was on the Screen Actors Guild Award last night, he's probably best known for, what, 4 or 5 seasons on Private Practice. Very talented, popular actor. So what did he find when he got home last night?
Well, this is amazing. I mean, and by the way, not the first time. So about 11 o'clock last night, he comes home from the SAG Awards, which is interesting. Why didn't he go out and party?
That's what I was thinking when I first read the stories.
That is awfully early to be coming home after a big Hollywood event where you undoubtedly know a lot of people.
I know. 11 o'clock. Anyway, he comes home, lucky for him, and he sees a guy who tried to break into his home. So he confronts the guy. And by the way, the guy is, I'm not sure how old Taye Diggs is, but he ain't 20, and this guy was around 20. And he confronts him. And the suspect then starts running. Taye Diggs chases him.
Nice.
Catches up and holds the guy until the cops arrive.
Just sits on him?
No kidding.
You're not going anywhere.
You're not going anywhere. And you know, this is not the first time this has happened. It happened to LL Cool J last year. So I think, you know, it's kind of scary, but apparently, you know, there are some crooks who know that these actors show up to these events, and they probably figure out who's going, and they know the house is empty, and they put a hit out on the house.
Interesting. Wow. That's potentially scary. I mean, it worked out great for Taye Diggs, but you never know if you're going to go hand-to-hand with somebody in your house, what's going to end up happening, whether the guy's got a weapon or something.
Yeah, or a hand-to-gun.
It could be real dangerous.
I would let him run, personally.
Me too.
Yeah, just be happy he's out of your house, right?
Yeah, no kidding. But
and anyway, don't come back.
That would be all I did.
Right.
That wasn't the only excitement last night in Hollywood. What's going on with Chris Brown and Frank Ocean? This is a crazy story that everybody seems to have a different interpretation of what really happened.
Yeah, this is crazy. So this is where we got the call last night. The way it was told to me when we first got the call was, Chris was in the recording studio in West Hollywood. And he walks out, and Frank Ocean and his crew are there, and they block him from leaving. And then, at least according to Chris's people, they say, Frank says, this is my studio, this is my parking spot. I mean, this is so L.A., they're getting a fight over the parking spot.
Yeah, no kidding.
And so Chris, this is what, again, Chris aside, Chris goes to shake Frank's hand, which is weird. Why would you do that? And then Frank's, one of Frank's people attacks Chris. Then one of Chris's people jumps in front and hits Frank's friend. And then they all start fighting, and Frank is fighting Chris, and Chris is fighting Frank. And now Frank gives a different story. Frank says that Chris was the aggressor. Chris left. Frank stuck around for the police and gave a statement. The police want to talk to Chris, and Chris is still on probation in the Rihanna case. So it could be problematic.
No wonder he left.
Well, I mean, it really could be problematic for him.
Yeah.
So,
what a shame.
You know, it's just unbelievable.
Listen to Lisa.
Yeah,
oh, what a shame.
What a shame. I love it.
I sure hope Chris Brown doesn't get in trouble and have to go back to jail. What a shame for such a nice man. So the police were involved? Are there going to be any charges?
No, the police came out. They want to interview Chris. And, you know, both sides are accusing the other. I don't know. Whenever this stuff happens, usually they say it's mutual combat, and they end up not pressing charges because it's so murky. But it remains to be seen. I mean, nobody's talked to Chris yet.
Is there a history between these two guys? Because it seems odd.
I didn't know there was, but clearly they don't like each other. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I mean, this was not about a parking spot.
I was going to say, this seems like such a non-event.
Yeah, this is
how
not
could they get
about,
a fight over?
Not about a parking spot, I can tell you that.
And the thing that you mentioned in your story that may have some impact on me, the home viewer, is Frank Ocean said now he's not going to be able to play with both hands at the Grammys in a couple of weeks, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, who knows whether he'll even show, but he says that he was screwed up in the fight and he's not going to be able to play.
Wow.
Real quick, Harvey, before you go, last week I made a reference to something that we didn't have time to mention, and that is the contest that you're running at TMZ.com where you're trying to take a regular person and make him famous. What's that about?
Well, I can't be too specific, but you know, there are a lot of people who think that they have the, you know, their family is every bit as talented as the Kardashian family. Okay.
Sure.
You want to do the jokes now?
No.
That I guarantee. Whoever thinks that, their family is every bit as talented as the Kardashian family.
So, we're just looking for one of those families, and we're getting a lot of people that are inquiring. So I will have a lot more to tell you guys in a couple of weeks.
Doesn't that tell you something about the people, though, that are – as soon as they inquire, you go, okay, I know what I need to know about this people, about this group, this family.
I will tell you.
All right. Okay.
We are getting some interesting people. I went out and I visited a family this weekend.
You did?
They are awesome.
Okay.
Okay.
We will. Honey Boo Boo, awesome?
No. Okay. They're very different.
Jersey Shore, awesome?
No. Okay. They're really, these people are really likable.
Okay.
All right. Well, we'll stand by for more details on that.
Did I say that?
You did.
They were likable. And you can check TMZ.com, and you should, for all the entertainment news of records and for the local listings for the TV shows as well. Harvey, you're the best, man. Thanks for coming on today.
We'll see you guys.
We've been hearing about it for a long time. It is finally here, the documentary from Dave Grohl called Sound City. You can see it on the 31st. What is that, like
Thursday?
Yeah. Maybe Thursday night at the Cinerama Dome. And then you get a pair of passes to see the Sound City Players, which is Dave Grohl and the rest of Foo Fighters, along with Brad Wilk from Rage and Stevie Nicks and Rick Springfield and John Fogerty. And so much more. Got passes for both. You can win them. Excuse me, right after the top of the hour coming up here on the Kevin Bean Show. Ralph, why are you so excited?
Because this is all I care about. It's the only reason I came in this morning. I was going to call in sick and just sleep in. But then I remembered we were doing this segment. I said, oh, I have to get up. I have to get up and get to work.
There was a red carpet world premiere of Hansel and Gretel last week, and our man Beer Mug attended with a microphone. Now, this time we did videotape it. You can see it at krock.com or kevinandbean.com. This is the extended version. We only show you play you the highlights on the radio. But
guys, I'm really getting good.
I thought so. He does feel like he's really turning into a good interviewer.
Yeah, I know he does.
No, comparing him to my past interviews, I think I am getting better.
Really?
Yeah, I really do.
Okay, all right.
Here's his introduction to the piece.
Hello, Beer Mug here at the red carpet premiere of Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters, starring Jeremy Renner and Gemma Arterton. Let's see what stars I could talk to. Let me see which celebrities I could talk to today. Let's see which celebrities are going to want to talk to me today. So let's see what celebrities I could talk to with this awesome thing.
Yes!
With this awesome thing.
What is this awesome thing?
Referring to a microphone?
The microphone, yeah.
Why would you refer to that as an awesome thing?
Well, it is brand new technology, Kevin.
Yeah.
In fact, by the way, you can hold a stick that records audio now is the talk of the town.
Wasn't the first of those the best? I mean, he went back and did it over and over
and over again.
Fine. I like to give the camera guy a couple cuts to work with.
Sure. Yeah.
So Beer Mug interviews the fight coordinator about the movie Hansel and Gretel.
What can we expect in terms of fighting style? Are there any kind of specific, like, martial arts, or is it just straight out brawling, you know, fight?
Yes.
Good question.
That was a Kevin.
You are getting better.
That might have been not
straight out brawling
straight
fight.
Up
that might not
fight.
Have been the sharpest of questions.
How many times, by the way, have we heard Beer Mug start a clip with what should we expect?
Yep.
What can we expect in terms of fighting style? Are there any kind of specific, like...
Now, I know where you're going with this. It makes sense. Taekwondo or jiu-jitsu.
Okay, what
or...
styles of fighting did you incorporate into the stunts?
That's what he's going
Man,
for.
I wish I could say it like that. Yeah.
You started okay, but then this
came... What do we expect with fight?
Martial arts, or is it just straight-out brawling, you know... Fight.
Straight out brawling fight.
Oh, man. That's the style we use. We use the straight up brawling fight.
Yeah.
What if Beer Mug were to interview the music composer? What would you guys be afraid
no
of?
No good would come from it.
Well, what do you think would happen if you had to guess what happened?
I play music.
One of the things, yes. The other thing that he likes to do is to bring in other composers.
Yeah.
Sure. When I think of composers, I think of everybody
Hans
but you.
Zimmer, John Williams, and your name is, sir?
Listen to this and how quickly it's encapsulated.
Do you sit down and listen to a lot of John Williams?
No.
Wow.
Why is it you feel the need to compare every soundtrack composer to somebody who's vastly more acclaimed and famous than they are?
Well, look, I mean, everybody has, you know, is inspired by somebody.
Right.
Ask that question.
Okay.
Yes. Who's inspired your work? It's a different question than, do you sit down and listen to a lot of John Williams?
So,
it's basically asking, do you steal John Williams stuff for your movies?
Since you're not as good?
Do you sit down and listen to a lot of John Williams?
No.
Do you wish?
I want to hug that guy right now, whoever he is.
Do you think the director would have rather gotten John Williams for the movie? Because I would.
Because he's better.
Do you watch a lot of Steven Spielberg movies and then copy them to your own films, Mr. Director?
Now, I don't know why, but Beer Mug is obsessed with asking people to sum things up in 10 words or less.
I don't know. I don't understand.
That's a great point, Kevin.
Ask a question in 10 words
or
less.
True.
What is the rush you have to get these people off the red carpet where you have to limit their word count, Muggs?
I don't know. I mean, what could you explain in 10 words or less?
Look, Beer Mug's backed up. A lot of stars are just waiting to talk to Beer Mug, so he's got to burn through them, you know?
Tell me just in a brief synopsis, maybe like 10 words or less, what the fans that are anticipating this movie can see.
Well done.
What?
Well done.
You can't even ask a question in 10 words or less. That fans that are anticipating the movie will see.
I feel bad for Jeremy Renner because he got caught with Muggs.
Oh, no.
And again, you can see these videos at krock.com or kevinandbean.com.
Jeremy. What's up, man?
What's up?
Johnny from K-Rock.
How are you doing?
Pleasure to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Big fan. First off, I want to say you're very good at your craft work.
He's in craft work?
There was an awful lot of wasted time with small talk with you saying hello to Jeremy Renner 8 different ways.
I'm Johnny, big fan. Yeah.
By the way, you're Beer Mug, first of all.
Right.
We know your name is Johnny, but Beer Mug.
Okay.
On the red carpet.
Okay, all right, done.
Yeah. Here we go.
I don't know how you do it. Acting is not an easy profession, but you pull it off in every role you play, so I just want to say congratulations in the work you do.
Oh, well, thanks, man. I feel blessed to do what I get to do for a living.
All right, so now he's being nice.
Moving on.
Yeah.
But what was the point? What was the point of that?
He's
good
at everything,
though.
Acting is difficult.
How about some information for us, the listener?
Why?
Good question.
But I think what Ralph's point is that we all know that Jeremy Renner is a good actor. You're wasting everyone's time by telling him that he's a good actor.
And I'm sure Jeremy Renner's on the red carpet saying, I hope a guy from radio congratulates me on my work. Then I'll finally feel accepted in the industry if some guy from radio says I'm good.
But at least Muggs had the wherewithal to not mic Jeremy Renner during that exchange, so we couldn't really hear what he was saying.
Tell me a little bit about Hansel, your character, when you got called to audition, or how did you get involved with this role?
Rob's about to spit out his coffee.
I would like to point out that Muggs is getting better.
Or so he says.
Rob, don't spit. Don't spit. You should know better than to drink good news.
Tell me something about your character, Hansel, when you got the call to audition. Well, I guess it was just a character and a script at that point. I guess it was just words on a page when I was called to audition. That's all about my character at that stage.
What if the poor director had to do an interview with Muggs? Then what?
Then he would kill himself afterwards.
When it comes to actually shooting the piece, how many cameras do you have going at one time on one scene? Like, with so much, is there a lot of quick cuts?
Oh, man.
You got to narrow down your question, man. I mean, you start with how many cameras, and then you end up with an editing question. It has nothing to do with how many cameras.
Very ADD, Muggs, I know.
Muggs, you know you don't have to ask all your questions at once right?
Okay. Well, I feel, you know what, though? I do feel.
He does feel like he has to jam
the questions, by the way, would be, how many cameras do you use when you shoot a scene?
But if you're going to ask it, at least leave it at that.
Just
let him answer.
And let him go.
Oh, this is good. All right, director, how about 10 words or less?
One last question, Tommy. Without giving the twist away, what can fans expect? And just give it to me in 10 words or less.
Of course. I just think they can expect a fun ride because we mix genres in a fun way, I think. We mix action, horror, and comedy with extreme gore as well.
All right, now Muggs busts him on the 10 words or less. Because this guy's not playing by Muggs' rules.
And hopefully it's a fun combination.
That was more than 10 words, but I love it.
If you translate it to Norwegian, it's 10.
Okay. That's pretty funny. That's not bad.
We should have that Norwegian director do all our red carpet interviews.
What about Famke Jensen?
Oh, yeah.
No.
What about Beer Muggs working himself right into the Uncle Creepy role that Bean usually plays? You ready?
No.
Famke Jensen, ladies and gentlemen, you look absolutely ravishing. I could eat you up.
Well, don't.
God damn.
I could eat you up.
Jesus. Well...
Don't.
Real quick, what will fans take away from this, do you think?
What will take fans take away from this movie?
Yeah.
What does that even mean?
What does that mean?
Well, they'll see a film.
What
does that mean? What do you expect them to take away from it?
Yeah.
What are they going to take away from the movie?
Yeah, well, I don't know. The story of Hansel and Gretel?
What would your guess be?
That witches suck? I don't know. She could have given me something.
That witches suck.
That's what you were mining for.
I don't know.
The nugget you were digging for in this interview.
I honestly feel I feel rushed on the red carpet a little bit. I think.
Wait a minute. I thought you were stepping up your game and you're way better than you've ever been before.
But listening back to these, maybe not so much. But you guys should have heard my Last Stand interviews with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I'll bet those were good before you erased them.
Yeah, they were good.
And then he wraps things up.
So that's a wrap on the red carpet premiere of Hansel. Take two. So that's a wrap on the red carpet premiere of Hansel and Gretel. I think I got some celebrity interviews, and I think they were mediocre. You be the judge. I'm out. So that's a wrap on the red carpet world premiere of Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters.
All right, wait a minute. Are you out or are you not out?
I got a lot of the stars in the movie. The only one that I didn't get to talk to was Gemma Arterton, but I think Kevin and Bean put the gag order on that for no-go, so it wouldn't have worked. So, oh well.
Try it again.
Better luck next time.
Try it again, Muggs.
Well, that's a wrap. There you have it. The world.
Try it again.
Well, that's a wrap. There you have it. The world carp.
Wait, you're done or you're not done?
He's out. But then he's back in.
Trying to help out the camera guy.
All right. Moving. Do you sit down and listen to a lot of John Williams?
No.
No. Frankly.
That's an annoyed no.
It is.
Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:56.
We told you you could win a pair of passes to see the Sound City Players. That's the super group with Foo Fighters and about, I don't know, 15 other great musical artists all playing after the movie premiere of Sound City at the Cinerama Dome this Thursday night. If you want to go, if this sounds like an awesome night, we want you to call right now. We'll be playing a game right after the top of the hour at 1-800-520-1067. We are looking for Foo Fighters fans as contestants to join us next on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat here on a Monday. And Ralph, let me just say before you get started, I enjoy your craft work.
Thank you so much. And by the way, it's great if you're a Foo Fighter fan, but if you're not, it's not going to make a whit of difference.
It won't?
No. I wrote the questions. Just call. Okay. Just call. You might win. So, let's be serious.
You have a decent chance either way.
We have a decent chance, yeah. It is Monday morning. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. 3 new movies in the top 10 this weekend. One did very well. The other two were Parker and Movie 43. So let's talk about Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters. I wish someone would ask Jeremy Renner, to about the character of Hansel, what it was like when he auditioned and when he went through with that, when he went in and called, then what Hansel then, and 10 words or less.
Asked and answered.
Yeah.
Could somebody ask Framke Jansen what she expects the audience to take away from seeing Hansel and Gretel? Could that question be asked too?
What do you think they'll take away from this?
I could eat you up.
Maybe he meant that red carpet interview. Yeah. I mean, what do the fans take away from this conversation we're having right here? Hansel and Gretel made $19 million at the box office this weekend. The number one movie in the nation. Mama. It was number two at the box office.
You promised.
Silver Linings Playbook came in at number three, Zero Dark Thirty. And the lovely Jessica Chastain was fourth on the list. Parker, the new Jason Statham movie, came in at number five with just $7
million. Kevin, how was that?
I did not see Parker. I saw Hansel and Gretel.
Ah.
Oh, wow.
Parker, J-Lo and... Jason Statham in the same movie, only $7 million worth of box office.
That's a surprise.
Yeah. I think a lot of people were scared off because they thought it was a movie about parkour.
Could be.
No, I would have seen that.
Seeing people just bounce off of walls and jump on.
I thought it was, and that's the only reason I wanted to go.
Jump on fire escapes and things, but it's Parker. Django Unchained was sixth. Movie 43, the Farrelly Brothers composite sketch comedy film. Just made $5 million this weekend. Made number seven. Gangster Squad was eight. Broken City and Les Mis rounding out your top ten at the box office this weekend. A lot of talk about the upcoming 50 Shades of Grey movie. The fans of the book are concerned that the movie will not show some of their favorite parts of the novel. By that I mean porn.
Right.
Well, screenwriter Kelly Marcel, who has been asked to adapt the novel into the screenplay, says, "Don't worry, fans of the novel. The movie is destined for an NC-17 rating, which is the legitimate movie's version of the X, basically." He said audiences will be seeing some very famous private parts, depending on who they cast. So far, the casting reports have been James Franco is considered to be on the top of the list for people to play Christian Grey, the lead in that story. Also, Jason Dean, the porn star who did The Canyons with Lindsay Lohan.
Oh, right.
Is apparently also in talks to play that role, which would be appropriate. Then you could just bang it out and film it and do whatever you want. Mila Kunis.
Ooh. Okay.
Yes, please.
All right, then.
Rumor has
I'd like to eat her up.
Is also in... Please don't. Is in talks of playing Anastasia Steele, the female lead in that story. In fact, she said she could have a good time bringing that character to life. Yeah. I could eat you up, Mila Kunis.
Please don't.
Now, is Muggs all depressed because we played his red carpet interviews? He thought they were great and they weren't. Is he sad now?
No, I just go back to the lab and keep working.
There's a lab?
You have a lab for that?
Wow. Your interview lab must be like a meth lab. At any moment, it could just blow up the building that it's in.
It's just weed
everywhere.
With the
wrong combination of things.
It's just weed and candy.
That's, he calls that the lab? Yeah. The room with all the weed and candy in it?
Which is his bedroom.
Yeah. Let's talk about the X-Men movie that's upcoming, X-Men Days of Future Past. Can't wait for this film. Bryan Singer has confirmed that three more of the actors from the original series of X-Men films will be back for this new sequel. Hollywood Reporter says it's Anna Paquin, who played Rogue in the first three films. Ellen Page is coming back as well to reprise her role as Kitty Pryde, and Sean Ashmore, who played Iceman in the original films, will also be returning. This is going to be like the all-star X-Men movie. They're bringing back... Magneto in both incarnations, also Professor X, James McAvoy, and Patrick Stewart are both returning for that role. So it's going to be terrific. I can't wait for Beer Mug to get on the red carpet for that.
Yeah, it'll be good.
Bryan Singer, 10 words or less.
Why I could just eat you up.
What could fans take away from the movie? Before you read the script, what was the state of the film? Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Alan Alda is 77 years old today. He played Hawkeye Pierce on the legendary TV series MASH for many seasons. Rick Ross, rapper Rick Ross, is 37 years old. Singer and TV personality Joey Fatone of NSYNC turns 36. Elijah Wood from Lord of the Rings and the TV series Wilfred over there on FX. He is 32. And Ariel Winter, who plays the younger sister on Modern Family. They won last night for Best Ensemble Cast for a TV comedy, by the way, in the SAG Awards. She is 15 years old. Have you ever seen her parody trailer for the Dora the Explorer live-action movie?
No.
I don't think so.
Oh, you have to go on YouTube and find it. It is wildly entertaining. It's as if they took the little sweet little kids cartoon Dora the Explorer and then made a big screen action-adventure big budget movie version.
Right.
And it's like Dora like getting a bazooka and blowing up Swiper the Fox and stuff. It's just over the top entertaining. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Huge hour here on the show this time, including LaQuisha reviewing Buck Wild on MTV. And we'll talk to a guy who's standing on the side of the road holding up a sign because he's looking for a kidney, finding out how that is working for him.
You
first, though.
Why don't you step up, man? Yeah. Why don't you do something with it?
Selfish bastard.
I'm out, dude. I can't give the other one. It's somebody else.
Well,
why
you not? Can.
Why
you
not?
Can.
Yeah, exactly. You can, but you won't.
Yeah. Selfish, exactly. Self-centered bastard.
First, though, how about a pair of passes to the premiere of Sound City at the Cinerama Dome? This is the awesome documentary about the recording studio made by our friend Dave Grohl, and you get a chance to see him and lots of special guests afterward. It's time to play our new game, Rhymes with Grohl.
Rhymes with Grohl, Grohl. Rhymes with Grohl, 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 Grohl. It's time to play Rhymes with Grohl.
Yeah! Okay, that's fine. Thank you very much. Look, all of our games can't be good.
This game is a pass on every level. This is just Omar's given up. We've given up. Justin's given up. This is just us just running out.
All right. Not that it's not obvious from the title, Ralph, but
what
explain
is the
to
title?
The callers.
Can we play that intro again? I'm just going to no, the title.
No, we can't. We don't have any time. We don't have that much time. Okay.
Come on. Rhymes with Grohl, Grohl. Rhymes with Grohl, 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 Grohl. Rhymes with Grohl, Grohl. Rhymes with Grohl, 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 Grohl.
Rhymes with Grohl. Okay.
Okay. So listen, we get basically what's happening is that Ralph is going to read the. You describe it, Ralph.
I'm going to ask a question.
I was too terrified that the intro was going to come back in.
I'm going to ask a question, beer mug. Yes. That sounds like a beer mug statement, the way mm-hmm. Bean did it. You're going to the real describe?
Then you do it.
10 letters or less. I will ask a question. All of the answers rhyme with Grohl.
I see.
What could be more simple? I will ask a question. The answer is guaranteed to rhyme with Grohl.
All right. Let's start with Chuck. Chuck, hello.
Good morning, party people.
Chuck, here's your question. A spy who operates from within an organization is often referred to as this small cylindrical mammal, which has adapted to a subterranean lifestyle.
Mondays are rough. I'm going to say mole.
Mole!
Rhymes with grow, 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 grow.
Nicely done. Hold on.
Congratulations.
Now, he wins.
Oh,
right?
He wins, right?
Yes,
he wins.
He does.
Yes.
Doesn't
have you
to
are
hold
a winner.
Well, he has to hold on to get the details, but he's automatically. If you are right, you win. That's
right.
How this game
no
works.
No drawing.
Tom. Again, we're just giving up. We're just giving up. The intro, the questions, and how hard it is to win the prize.
Hi, Tom.
Good morning.
Lucky Tom. For you, it's easy to win the prize. Here
Tom,
we go.
Tom, here's your question. Please don't forget the answer rhymes with Grohl.
Rhymes with Grohl, 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 Grohl.
Okay, here's your question. This is a mythical supernatural creature that supposedly lives in caves, mountains, or sometimes under a bridge.
Troll.
Yeah! Yeah!
Rhymes with grow, 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 grow.
You win.
All right. Two for two. Well done. Let's move on to contestant number three. This is going to be our man, George, on line three. Hi, George. Welcome to Rhymes with Grohl.
Yeah!
George, here's your question. This is the proper word for a baby horse.
Oh, come on, guys. You're killing me.
Rhymes with Grohl.
Is it a beer mug?
An excellent guess.
A good guess, though.
No, sorry. Foal is the foal. Answer we're looking for. A foal.
Because it rhymes with
Grohl.
Grohl.
Now, if it rhymed with Groney, though, then it might have been pony, right?
That's
true.
Right.
Do
yes.
I understand correctly? All right, you lose, right. But thank you for playing. Alana is our next contestant. She is on line four for Rhymes with Grohl.
Rhymes with Grohl, 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 Grohl.
Alana, here's your question. This is a document or manuscript that is rolled up for storage.
Scroll.
Scroll!
Rhymes with grow, 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 grow.
Well done. You win.
Yay,
all right, that's three. We're working toward five. Jeremy is up next. Let's see how he does in the game.
Hey, Jeremy.
What's going on, guys?
Jeremy, this is the largest city of Asia and the capital of South Korea.
Oh, God.
Come on.
How fast he gave up.
He gave up before the question was finished.
Well, he works at Spencer's. His soul's already crushed.
Come on, man. Go all Gangnam Style and come up with this.
Hey, bro, scroll door.
Capital of South Korea.
South Korea.
Gonna need a word. Yeah. Rhymes with Grohl.
Lol
was the last one. Lol, you're just gonna go through the whole alphabet? We don't have time.
Yeah. Okay, Lol.
Grohl.
What's your answer?
Wouldn't that be awesome if it was actually Grohl? If that was the answer, is what the city
Sorry,
is?
Sorry, Seoul, Korea.
Yeah, that was
Seoul, Korea.
Yeah. Let's try Michael. Hi, Michael.
How you doing?
Very good, thank you.
Michael, this fuel source is a black solid combustible substance formed by the partial decomposition of vegetable matter.
Oh, man.
Oh, come on.
It's a fuel source and it's black.
It's
come on.
Black and solid.
And it rhymes with freaking roll.
Come on.
Rhymes with
grow.
He got coal.
I was going to drive down there and whip him. All right, congratulations. You guys are all going to Sound City. More tickets tomorrow. Thanks for playing Rhymes with Grohl.
Rhymes with Grohl.
So much show. Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network talks Super Bowl coming up next hour. And the very talented Sam Witwer, he is the vampire on Being Human on the Sci-Fi Channel, joins us as well. Speaking of TV, LaQuisha. Good morning, sweetheart. How are you?
Good morning, sweetheart. How are you?
So good.
I'm excited to talk to you. We miss you. We don't have you on very often. When we do, you're usually cranky.
Shut up, B.
Exactly.
How's I'm cranky because I'm watching Buck Wild on MTV. That's why I'm cranky.
Well, you sort of signed up to take a look at the bad, stupid white people shows.
Yeah, but I had no idea this existed when I said that.
Well, what's going on with Buck Wild? I've kind of have lost the thread of the plot of those kids in West Virginia.
Well, there's no real plot. It's just a bunch of peckerwoods just living in West Virginia.
Right.
Having sex and getting drunk and swimming in irradiated water.
And making the cast of Jersey Shore look smart.
That's right. Like Ashley, she's one of the young ladies there in Sissonville, West Virginia. She's reading the paper, and she gets excited by one of the few forms of entertainment I believe they have in West Virginia.
Holy Did you guys know there's a rodeo coming to town?
Where at?
Mason County?
That'd be pretty cool.
It says here that, like, anyone's welcome to try to ride the bulls.
I'm down.
I've been wanting to ride a bull since I was like 7.
You should just stick to riding with cowboys.
Ashley, like any young girl, dreams of riding a bull.
A real
bull. Some girls dream of being princesses. Some of being doctors or lawyers. She just wants to ride a bull. Now, then the thing about her friends is they're very supportive of her dreams, so they come up with an idea that's going to help her get ready for the rodeo.
I think before you ride a bull, we should practice a little.
I can build some fake one. A training bull.
I think that's a great idea.
I do, too. I think you should have these two morons who don't have but 8 teeth between them build you a fake training bull. They're like the MacGyvers of West Virginia. Good idea. So they make, what they basically do is they take an industrial drum and they tie some ropes to it and they rig up a pulley system, and they're going to pull on the ropes while you're sitting on a drum and see if they can knock you off.
High class all the way.
That's right. What bad could come from that? And while they're all doing this and training, they have a little bet. Some money is promised to whoever can last on it the longest. And the young girl named Sawa, she is the one to last the longest.
There you go.
I know.
Good job,
I told you today, it's going to be one day. I prayed today.
She knew it was going to be a great day because she prayed today.
About riding that
Dear
drum?
Lord, let me stay on the industrial drum pulled by ropes and levers. God, amen. And it works. Prayer works. That's all you need to know. Now, when they go to rodeo, the boys and the girls, they're both going to be riding these bulls for real, and they decide to make a little wager.
I think we should make some kind of bet. So guys against girls, the guy gets the best score, and then the girls have to cook dinner
Whoever
for the guys.
Gets the best
naked.
Bras and panties.
So if the girls win and the guys have to cook dinner, you guys have to cook dinner in your boxers.
Yes. Or man thong, whatever we pull out.
Not a man thong, because no one wins if you guys are wearing man thongs.
Yeah, that's true. Let me tell you something. Nobody wins if the girls are in their bras and panties, neither.
Oh, no.
These are not attractive people particularly.
Oh, it's too bad.
So they do the bull riding, and the boys end up getting a better score, so the girls have to cook dinner for them in their bras and panties. And Shane, before the dinner starts, as all the girls are in their bras and panties, makes a very touching toast.
Listen up. Here's a toast. We won the bet, you know, fair and square.
Just for y'all.
You know. Thanks for dinner, and I hope it tastes as good as y'all look. Yeah.
You know, that was the first toast I've ever did.
No, really? I would think that the governor of West Virginia would have you come to the mansion to welcome traveling dignitaries. I thought they'd call you up down to Friars Club and have you come down there and just start off every meal. First toast you ever did. I'm surprised. Here's the thing about Shane. He loves his truck more than anything in the world.
Oh, my truck. Oh, that's my pride and joy. I'm always wrecking my truck or tearing it up somehow. If you watch how I drive, people say I really don't care too much for it, but if it wasn't for my truck, then I wouldn't have nothing.
Truer words were never spoken. If he did not own a truck, he would literally have nothing. So immediately he takes his beloved truck out mudding, you know, the favorite sport of West Virginia, where you drive your truck into a big mud hole.
Yep.
And things go horribly, horribly wrong. His truck, it gets destroyed by the mudding. Or as they say in West Virginia, it got blowed up.
Sure.
How'd you break your headlight out?
I didn't tree, but it don't matter. It's blowed up.
He said it is blowed up. He brought it home with a dozer.
Hey, this is Abe's truck you blowed up. Shane, you gonna have to fix it yourself or buy you another one.
Mm-hmm.
You ready?
Let's go. Get ready for church. Come on.
I don't want to be late.
Yeah, the truck blowed up. Let's go to church.
You blowed up many of them.
Pray God for another truck we can blow it up. How come all the people that pray and have the crappiest lives? That would make me think that God really doesn't give a rat's ass about people. Everybody who goes to church all the time are the poorest, dumbest people, and they stay poor and dumb.
I think
if God was listening, would he help these people out?
Well,
give them a truck and don't get blown up?
They pray because they have so many needs and wants. I think that's why.
Well, Shane, he's gone through a lot of trucks, but not as many trucks as he has women.
You know, I've had more girlfriends than I have trucks. You know, but I get more attached to my trucks because they don't bitch at me or tell me when I need to be home because they're the ones taking me home.
So I got to take the truck to the junkyard, because that's what you do. You take your blowed-up truck to the junkyard,
okay,
and they weigh it for scrap metal, and they give you some money for it. Then you can buy another crappy truck and then get that one blowed up. It's a vicious cycle is
Sounds
what it
like
is.
It.
But while they're there, Joey, one of the other fellas, starts working the giant crane, the steam shovel, that picks the truck up and drops it onto the pile. And everybody's surprised that he can do that.
Whoever thought Joey knew how to operate heavy machinery, it just completely blew my mind. Now I was kind of turned on by it a little bit.
Yeah.
Turned on by it.
Nothing hotter than a guy inside a steam shovel. What the hell's wrong with these people?
A lot.
Well, Shane, before he leaves the junkyard, has to say goodbye to his old friend. And nothing sadder than watching a hillbilly give a eulogy for his truck.
Well, Ranger, you've been fun. A few threesomes, DUI, a few mud holes, snorkel.
Yeah.
You did good.
Brings a tear to your eye, doesn't it?
Really does, especially when you mention the DUI.
The DUI we got together.
as part of the
snorkeling we did.
What was that about?
I don't know. I don't think you should take a truck snorkeling.
I don't either.
Maybe
don't
that's why
so.
It blowed up.
It might blow it up, yeah.
Well, he takes the $300 he gets for the scrap metal of his truck, and he goes and buys himself a new truck. And he loves this truck, and to break it in, to celebrate the new truck, what's he do?
Goes mudding?
He takes it mudding. You got it right, Kevin.
Joey!
Joey! The truck's dead. The truck's blown up. Hey, that was quick. 45 minutes, and I done killed this one, too.
Nothing's better than wasting money when you're poor. Nothing's funnier than a life that entails entertaining yourself by rolling in mud like a pig. Congratulations, West Virginia. Well done.
Oh, such a good show for you, LaQuisha.
Let's drop the bomb on West Virginia.
Being Human is a show on the Sci-Fi Channel. We'll talk to actor Sam Witwer coming up in about 20 minutes or so. He is the vampire. See, there's a vampire, a ghost, and a werewolf who all live in an apartment together, Kevin, because that could happen.
Sounds like a joke.
I think it's based on a true story, actually. So that's coming up in a few minutes, plus Rouse got the showbiz beat here on K-Rock. Here's a subject that is near and dear to my heart. As you guys know, over 4,500 Americans every year die on the kidney transplant waiting list. I want you to think about that for a moment. Over 4,500 a year die because they're on a list waiting for a kidney when there are hundreds of millions of Americans walking around with perfectly good kidneys that they could donate. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Does that make sense to you guys?
No.
This story is kind of back on my radar and back in the news because of a young man in Oregon named Earl. Earl Martinez joins us on the phone, and maybe you saw him all over the internet last week holding up a sign on a street corner looking for a kidney. Earl, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. Thank you for having me on.
It's our pleasure. What's the story? How come you need a kidney? What's going on with you health-wise?
As far as, like, health-wise, I feel pretty good, and I'm pretty lucky to be in the situation I'm in. As far as just the kidney failure, I was born with a genetic disease, so it's just a little bit harder for my family to donate.
And, okay. Oh, I see, because everybody in your family has the same genetic disease.
They don't all have the kidney failure, but it would just be a little more difficult to find, like, a really good match through them, so we just decided to put that on hold.
So what's the first step? Is to get your name on the list, the waiting list?
You got to go through the whole transplant process, and you got to be fit, and you got to be able to receive a kidney, and you've got to have all the right insurance in place. And once that is all taken care of, you can be placed on a list to wait for a deceased donor's kidney.
Okay, and you've been on the – you're like 2 or 3 years out on waiting for a new kidney, as I understand from the story last week, right?
So I'm about a year out right now. I've been waiting over 2 years. So, and it's around 3 years here in Oregon.
And every pretty much 3, 4, 5 times a week you're on dialysis to kind of keep your blood going?
Yeah, 3 times a week for about 4 to 5 hours each session.
Good times. Tell us how you ended up on the news last week, because this really got a lot of people talking.
Yeah, it did. So I was just talking, actually, to my transplant team, and they just let me know that, you know, 2.5 years ago when you were listed, the list was shorter, and we just called to tell you that the list is now longer, and they were telling me to expect 6 more months to be added to that list, so that that bumped it up from about 6 months. I thought I was going to be receiving a kidney to a year, which would push it into the next year. And I was just...
But wait a minute. They put people in front of you if they're more desperate? Or how does that work? Because you were already on the list. Regardless of how long the list gets, unless they're more important cases.
Sometimes people can go in front of you if... like you said, there are more important cases.
Right. Do they put hot chicks in front of you? Because, I mean, I would be down with that.
I've yet to see any hot chicks at the house.
All right. So you decided to take matters into your own hands and did what, Earl?
So I just woke up and I went to Home Depot. I made the sign, painted it that morning, and I was blow-drying it as fast as I could. And literally, this is how it went. I just blow-dried the sign, and I went outside and just went straight to this corner that was in a busy intersection around lunchtime, and I figured lunchtime was going to be real busy. And I just, it was weird just walking up to this spot. I never thought that I was going to be like walking up to this corner to hold a sign. And
what did the sign say?
Just said, need kidney donor, big red letters. And I was probably only there about 30 minutes before the news showed up.
How about that? So were you partly doing it because out of frustration of your own situation and partly just to kind of try to raise awareness to the whole organ donation situation?
To be honest, I had just like these little cards I was going to hand out, and I definitely did not think there was going to be any news. Like, I just I didn't even think about it, which I should have thought about that, because I honestly never seen anybody holding a sign like that.
Right.
No, no, so. Certainly not. And I understand that you've been hearing from people all over the country who are, it seems like, legitimately offering to be tested to see if they might be a match for you.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I've probably received about 400 emails.
Wow. And messages. You could start selling kidneys on the black market. You could turn this into a very good venture. No.
So what's going to happen? I mean, you were talking about the waiting list is mostly for dead donors, but if you have somebody who's willing to step forward and be a living donor, you could start the process immediately toward getting a new kidney, right?
Yeah. So I'm having a few people tested. Unfortunately, I can only have two people tested at a time, so that makes it a little more lengthy. But I should know something this week to see if the two that I have going through right now are going to be really good potential donors. And then from there, it's about 60 to 90 days, if everything goes smoothly, to a transplant.
Well, that's very encouraging. I mean, it sounds like if you've got that many people who are stepping up, that you're going to probably find somebody who's going to be a match, which is going to be great, because that's going to change your life so much. I feel like so many people don't ever think about this, about this need for kidneys. And if you ever meet someone or know someone who needs a kidney and you see a little bit of what dialysis is like, I think a lot of people would step forward and try to help. And I'd love people who are listening to this interview, at a minimum, definitely donate your organs after you die. Make sure that's on your driver's license. But start, maybe think about, if you're in good health and feel like you have a couple of weeks to give, think about being a living kidney donor too. I've done it, and it's easy. And I would recommend it to anybody. It's one of the most rewarding experiences I've ever had in my life, was being able to help somebody like that. And I hope that there are people who are willing to do that for you, Earl, and maybe for other people who are on the list as well.
Yeah, definitely. It's just hard for people to get the facts, but if you just talk to the doctors and stuff, they'll let you know that it's perfectly fine and you'll live a normal, long, healthy life with one kidney.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, National Kidney Foundation at kidney.org is one place you can go. And Earl, you also have something that you're involved in called Kidney Go Habs, is that right?
Yes, it's a nonprofit organization I'm trying to start up, and it will just help build funds for the other costs that don't deal with medical, to help people in the process of donation.
Fantastic. All right. Well, I'm so glad we got a chance to talk to you. We got our fingers crossed, man. I hope one of these people who is stepping forward is going to end up being a match for you, and that you are well on your way to good health soon, my friend.
All right. I thank you so much, and I appreciate you being a donor, too, and that's a really great story.
You're welcome. It's the least I could do.
Your story is awesome, too, Earl. Good luck to you. Thanks a lot for coming on the Kevin DeBean Show today.
Hey, thank you for having me.
We promised, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat, but first we promised we would announce the winner of Lollapalooza in Brazil, destination number 3 of the K-Rock World Tour 2013, round trip airfare for 2, hotel for 3 nights, tickets to see the Black Keys at Lollapalooza. Who's our winner, Kevin?
Nicholas Alderete.
Nope.
Alderete.
Nope.
Alderet.
No.
Alderete. Of Pasadena. I'm guessing that I didn't get it right one of those times.
I am guessing that as well.
Nicholas is the winner and gets to go see the Black Keys and Lollapalooza in Brazil.
Nick!
Congratulations, Nick.
Love
Destination
Nick.
Number 4 is Mumford & Sons in Amsterdam. We'll give you more information about that. You'll get a chance to qualify at 9:10 this morning. What's going on, Ralph?
Nick's your guy. Nick's your pal.
Is he?
Nick's the guy I could throw up in the backseat of your car. You don't mind. Goes to Elliot. Elliot's a kid who eats paste.
Okay.
It's a line from Sure Thing. You know Sure Thing?
No.
No, nothing?
Mm-mm.
All right. It is Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Congratulations to Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters. They are number one this weekend. $19 million made Hansel and Gretel number one. Then Mama, Silver Linings Playbook, Zero Dark Thirty, and Parker, the new Jason Statham movie, came in at number 5 with just $7 million. Django Unchained, movie 43, in its debut, made $5 million, made it number 7. Gangster Squad, Broken City, and Les Mis, rounding out top 10. SAG Awards were given out last night. This is actors saying what other actors they thought did a really good job this year. Usually a pretty good indicator for the acting awards for the Oscars, since a lot of those people vote for both. Here's how it shook down when it came to the movies. Best Supporting Male Actor, Tommy Lee Jones for Lincoln. Best Supporting Female Actor was Anne Hathaway for Les Mis. She's just been sweeping, man. She's just been crushing in the awards. As my buddy Kevin Smith says, it's just that 4 minutes she sings that song in that movie in close-up just has won her a ton of awards. Daniel Day-Lewis for Lincoln had a great speech last night. He's a classy guy, that DDL.
You're absolutely right.
Does he go
right,
by
Ralph?
DDL?
DDL, yeah.
That's
what we're talking.
Kevin, he threw out a shout-out to Joaquin Phoenix, who wasn't even nominated last night.
Yeah.
And I guess, Ralph, do you think that that was in response to Joaquin winning an award in Europe saying it's ridiculous that we even have these awards, but how can I be better than Daniel Day-Lewis? Was that kind of what his response was to?
Yeah. There, it's
so they got a little bit of mutual love thing going on.
A mutual admiration society there. Jennifer Lawrence won for Silver Linings Playbook, and I was just on the edge of my seat waiting for the bottom half of her dress to fall off.
Really?
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, there was some sort of malfunction. There was a tear or something, and she lifted up part of her skirt, and you could see her legs. The other part was falling off. I was like, here we go. Come on. Bring it. But I was hoping for the panty linings playbook, but nothing happened, and she kept it on somehow.
That's too bad.
And the cast for Argo won for Best Cast in a Motion Pictures, according to the SAG people. Dick Van Dyke won the Lifetime Achievement Award last night. And it just confirms, as we've always known, America loves Dick.
That's true.
Yeah. He's a sharp 82 or whatever the hell he is.
It's amazing,
I was very impressed by that guy. You guys know that there are still comic strips in newspapers?
No. I've never read comics.
I always read when I was a kid, but...
No.
I didn't know that there was still a popular thing in newspapers.
I didn't know there were still newspapers.
There are, yes. Okay. And there are still comic strips, and now they're taking great lengths to try to get people to read them again. This time it's stunt casting. Dick Tracy is still a comic strip that exists.
Really?
The legendary detective Dick Tracy, and now they've added a new cast member to their crime-fighting lineup, George Takei.
Is that right?
Lieutenant Sulu from Star Trek is now guest-starring in the comic strip as a character known as George Tawara. So they take the image of George and they write him in there and they say it's supposed to be him, but he's playing a role in the comic strip.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm already too confused to watch.
I can't follow
that. Stunt casting in comic strips.
Yeah. Next, George will be starring in Marmaduke. He'll be serving him up on a platter.
Oh my.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Alan Alda, 77 years old today. Joey Fatone of NSYNC turns 36. Singer-songwriter Sarah McLachlan is 45 years old. Elijah Wood, star of Lord of the Rings and Wilfred, 32 years old. He's been acting for a long time, that kid. I remember him in Red Flyer? What was that wagon movie he was in with Mel Gibson?
I'm not up on my wagon movies.
It's the famous flyer. Radio flyer. Ah. Yeah, that was a great film. He's... 32 years old today, and Ariel Winter, speaking of child actors, she is the youngest daughter on Modern Family. She is 15 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network joins us later this hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Oh, they had hard-hitting coverage of the 49ers arriving at the airport in New Orleans last night, man. They are milking every last second of this Super Bowl week, I'll tell you that. That's coming up here on K-Rock. First, though, very excited to welcome for the first time actor Sam Witwer in studio. He is one of the stars of Being Human on the Sci-Fi Channel. Hey, Sam, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Doing great, man. Thanks a lot. I just reading up on you, being on Battlestar Galactica, being on Smallville, and now being on Being Human, you're going to be able to go to sci-fi conventions till you're like 100 and have people asking for your autographs, right?
I am just ensuring my future survival.
Is that good?
Now. Yeah. Oh, you know, it really is. The sci-fi fans are more loyal than any fan you could have ever.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. Are they harsher critics?
Yes.
As well?
Of course. Yes. They show up to these conventions and they say, I don't like when you did this or that, or have you thought about this? And I'll tell you something. Sometimes their suggestions are right on.
Right, yeah. But most of the time,
they're crazy. No, honestly.
I definitely have an opinion.
I'll be honest. Like, there actually are some adjustments I made this season based on a couple things I heard from fans.
Really?
Yeah. No, I'm serious. I take it very seriously.
How about that? That's interesting. You don't hear that very often.
No,
because usually you fancy actors just ignore the little people. So I'm impressed. Gotta be honest.
No, you know, it's the customer, man. Right?
True.
If you're like a tradesman, you want to make sure the customer is satisfied.
Sure.
Well, let's talk about Being Human a little bit because it's a show that maybe isn't on everybody's radar, but I know it has quite a cult following. How do you explain it to people when you meet them at a party and they say, "What's your show about?"
What's my show about? It sounds like the setup to a joke.
It does.
a vampire, a werewolf, and a ghost that live in an apartment together. You know,
they'll go to a bar.
They walk to a bar. Yeah, exactly.
And the Pope is there with a bear.
Yeah. The idea is basically, I mean, you have all these supernatural shows out there, right? Well, our show is more concerned with these people just want to be people. They want to be humans. They want what we all take for granted, normalcy. And so it's a show that's more concerned about, hey, how do we pay rent? Or, hey, your girlfriend move in? Why? Why? You didn't even ask me. That's what the show is more concerned about. It's less concerned with, you know, the werewolves are attacking the vampires, you know?
Right.
So that's what's fun about it.
But that makes things much more complex when you're looking for a new roommate.
Yes, I mean, of course.
You have to be able to get along with a vampire and a werewolf and a ghost.
Yes, exactly.
And the ghost is hot.
The ghost is hot, but you can't see her, so you have no idea how to appreciate her.
Right.
Now, is the central premise that it's easier to live with other freaks because they understand kind of where you're at and what you're going through rather than have to try to deal with a human?
Well,
is that
sure.
what the, is that the point? That's why they all live together.
At times, it's a thinly veiled metaphor for like a halfway house with a bunch of drug addicts. I mean, really, that's my character is essentially a drug addict. He's this vampire who's trying to go clean, and we make no bones about that. That's what we're doing. That's what it's about.
You're trying to go clean, meaning you're trying not to
bite
feast
people.
On human beings.
<That's> right. He's kind of a heroin addict, you know.
Every once in a while a hot one walks by and you go, well,
you got it. You know, I mean, that's the thing. You invite this guy to a party and he's just like, oh no. Like, oh, God.
Now, Sam, you play Aiden, and give me the backstory on your character. He wasn't always a vampire. He became a vampire like a couple of hundred years ago, right?
Yes, he did. He became a vampire around the American Revolutionary War.
Because he was bitten by another vampire?
Something like that.
Is that how it works?
Yeah. I mean, you know, we keep the mechanism.
No, he got it from a toilet seat.
That's right.
No, I don't know if it's the same as with zombies where you become one if you get bitten.
Yeah, well, it's sort of like that. I mean, we keep the actual mechanism a little bit mysterious so that we don't have to talk about, like, well, it's this and it's that. And he has to suck your blood. And then,
because every kind of this genre has its own rules as far as how to become.
I think there was a version where they suck on Gary Oldman's nipple and you become a vampire. And ours doesn't do that. You know, don't worry about that.
All right, so he's been a vampire for a couple hundred years. Yeah. He lives forever, and we know that because season three started out with him being underground in a coffin for over a year just kind of laying there waiting for somebody to come rescue him.
Which
right?
is basically that scene in Trainspotting where they lock you and McGregor in the room and there's a baby crawling on the ceiling. It's just that the room is a lot smaller.
Right.
A
By
lot
the way,
smaller.
Tiniest casket ever.
Yeah. Believe me, I was in there. It was no fun.
Yeah, you can't turn over. You can't do anything.
You're not
man.
Claustrophobic
you're
just, at all?
You know, I didn't think so until they got a casket that's like two sizes too small for me.
Yeah, good.
So what happened? So again, Being Human just came back for season three. Episode three airs tonight on the Sci-Fi Channel. So what happened while your character was underground for a year and a half? Something made the blood go bad, and that causes real problems for vampires.
Got it. The supply has been poisoned by this flu that's fine for humans, but it kills vampires. And so there's this whole thing of like, okay, you're a heroin addict, but even the methadone supply is now poisoned to you. You know, yeah. I mean, not all of it, but a lot of it. So it's all about poisoned needles. There's some commentary in there about real world stuff. And so, you know, so now he's got a real problem. How does he eat?
I guess so.
Yeah.
It's hard out here for a vampire.
It really is.
Shut up,
right?
Bean.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Being Human, in its third season, again, as I mentioned, coming back tonight. Now, you guys have covered a lot of ground in the first two episodes already of this season.
Oh, yes.
With everything that's going on. Your little werewolf friend is going through some issues, too.
Oh, sure. Yeah. His issue is that he's not a werewolf anymore.
Hmm.
And how did that happen?
Well, the whole
not
werewolf...
much of a werewolf.
Yeah, I know. It's a vampire, a dude. And a super effeminate dude.
And do you kick him out now that he's not really a werewolf?
Sure
now he's
you
just
do.
A regular
yeah,
dude.
Well, he's no use to us.
That's right.
No, but the thing is, the show works best when you could take the words vampire, werewolf, and ghost out of the show and it still works. So having that guy lose the curse and just become a person still works because we're like, well, he's still the same character. It's a character show.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So
right.
We don't need it's not about fight scenes or everyone's getting staked. It's about, you know, these funny scenes with these roommates and then something bad happens. So,
all right, Sam Witwer is here. Witwer, I'm sorry. It's called Being Human. It's on Monday nights at 9 on the Sci-Fi Channel. It's in its third season right now. We need to take a break and we'll come right back. That just happened. That song.
Yeah.
That song is killing me. Can you please turn it off?
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 24 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Sam, I apologize that you had to be here on Third Eye Blind Appreciation Day on the Kevin and Bean Show.
I'm okay. I'm surviving.
Bad booking. Sam Witwer is the actor who is one of the stars of Being Human on the Sci-Fi Channel. New episode tonight at 9, I want to say. On Twitter, by the way, you bill yourself as actor, musician, grifter, con man. And I just would like to say that if you tell people in advance that you're a grifter and a con man, doesn't that stand in the way of you taking advantage of them?
Hiding and con manning?
That's the thing. Hiding in plain sight, man. They're like, well, he wouldn't say it if it was true. Well,
smart.
It's totally true.
I like it.
I like that. How does one audition to play a vampire? Because you have to be able to play the regular cool guy and then also the crazy guy with blood all over your face. What did they make you do when you came in for Being Human?
Suck in your cheeks. Don't get a tan. And it's very simple.
You are very pale.
Just be really white.
Yeah. Well, you know what it was is like, okay, when I read the script, because at first when I opened the script, it said, oh, you'll be playing a vampire. I'm like, okay, never mind. why do we need another one of these guys? We don't. But it wasn't until a friend of mine called me up and said, would you please just read that script? And because I turned it down. She's like, you're making a big mistake. And so I read the script and I realized, oh, this is a show about this guy being a drug addict. Well, that's interesting. Okay, cool. So that's how I went into the audition. Played it like that. Played it like Train Spotting rather than, you know, oh, I'm a vampire.
Now, this is really interesting. There's a long line of shows that have been adapted for American television from their British original, and yours is one of those.
One of the surviving ones, yeah.
Right, yeah. Yours is one of the most successful examples of that. But now, though, your show is so popular that they're importing it back to Britain now, or exporting it, I should say, to Britain, and now you're on the air over there with the American version of a show that had already been on the air as a British version of the show, correct?
Which is the first time I've ever been nervous about this, yes.
So now everybody who tunes in and watches your show is going to compare you to whoever played the vampire in the British version.
Totally. Of course they are. They should. Why not? Go for it.
And how do you stand up against that?
Oh, I'm terrible.
Oh.
I don't stand up. Are you kidding?
That's not what you
want to hear? Yeah, no, you know what it is I've actually been hearing more and more. They were smart to do that because originally they weren't going to air it in Britain until the British series was completely done with their run. And now they're airing it sooner than that. And I think it's because they realize the shows are quite different, that the characters were never intended to be the same people, and the situations are different. And I'm hearing more and more from British fans, and I mean fans who are British, that they like my show. So they've been getting it illegally. So it's, I think,
sweet.
May as well make some money off it, right? All right, officially.
What do they use? This is maybe a dumb question, but I don't know, because there are so many scenes with so much blood, including you drinking it out of broken glass. What do they use to play blood on your show?
Oh, well, you know, at first it started with like this stuff that tasted like toothpaste, right? And so you're dealing with that. At one point, I drank a whole bag of that toothpaste stuff, right? And it was terrible.
Tasty.
It was, it was so bad. You feel sick. And I think I drank two bags this one night. And then the next year, they're like, hey, you know, I've been working on the blood thing. And it's fruit juice with a little food coloring. And I'm like, wow, a year of R&D for fruit juice. Well, way to go, guys.
Couldn't somebody have thought about that before I drank gallons of the toothpaste?
Oh, God, it was terrible.
You seem to be, just in talking to you during the song, not that we weren't rapturously listening to every word of Third Eye Blind, but you seem to be a huge television fan as well.
Definitely, yes.
As an actor, do you have the feeling, hey, I love that show, I've got to figure out a way to get on it?
That's how I felt about Battlestar Galactica. That's how I got on the show.
Really?
Actually. Yeah, I saw the show, and this was around the time where everyone was talking crap about it. They were like, oh, this is terrible. And I was watching it like, actually, this is really incredible. And I just called my agent. I had no career at that point, but the casting director liked me. So I'm like, hey, call up Robert and tell him I want to be on the show. And then, and then it worked.
Do you have to say it that way?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
You're in L.A. Hey, call him up. It's very important.
Get him on the blower.
And it worked. So at that point, I was like, I'm shocked. I have no idea how to deal with this.
So you enter a show that you already admire.
Yeah.
How's that work? Is that scary?
It is scary because you start realizing, you get on Battlestar, you're like, well, there's 14 other regular characters on this show, and I'm like the 15th. So you have to fight for screen time for a little bit. But by the time that I was off that show, they had written me some nice stuff at the beginning of season two to go out on. So that was cool. Like, I had a storyline about me for three episodes. So that was really nice. Yeah.
So now that you know that you can do that, what do you have in your sights?
Maybe I mean,
you
know, now.
Oh, God.
There's only a few Breaking Bads left. Can you get on that show? I mean, what are you looking at?
You can get on 30 Rock.
Oh, sure. Wait.
Too bad. There's The Off. Oh, no. I get The Off.
Well, you know, I don't know. Name it, guys. What should I get on?
The Alphas?
Oh, no. How about Fringe? Oh, wait.
Oh, man. So we don't have any shows left, is what you're saying.
Well, yeah. It seems to be that way.
Yeah.
All right. In our remaining time with actor Sam Witwer, what else should people know about where we are in being human and to inspire them to tune in and start watching tonight?
Well, the wonderful thing about the show, again, is that its feet are so firmly planted on the ground. I mean, it really could be a show where we don't deal with the supernatural at all, and it would still be entertaining. It's really about that roommate dynamic, and it's never been more true than this season. I mean,
it's the sci-fi version of Friends.
It's, you know, in a weird way, it is, except for the fact that, and what I'm most proud of, is that the humor never undercuts the drama. I mean, the stakes are sky high this season. Things go wrong. But it's also our funniest season, and the way we play it. I mean, it was very hard to find that tone. How do you play? For example, my character is a very straight guy. He's a straight guy, you know. He plays the straight man to all these jokes with everyone else. Well, how do you play that for maximum humor while at the same time your character doesn't know he's funny? You know, that's fun.
That's a tough balance. That seems like a balancing act that a lot of shows run aground of. I mean, it just seems like that's where a lot of shows fail.
Well, when we were doing the pilot, there was this whole thing. We would do takes where it was really up and over the top. And you're like, you know, if this were a sitcom, that's the take we go with. And we had to find the right tone to where it's like we can never make the jokes feel like it's too campy or like we're not taking this seriously.
It's wacky.
It's the jokes have to come out of the fact that we take this ridiculously seriously, whether it's this guy wants to kill me or we ran out of peanut butter in the fridge. It's got to be, you know, and oftentimes what's great in this season is both things are happening at the same time. You know, like my character starts dating a person, a human, and so he's trying to keep this ridiculous supernatural world away from her. And you know,
it's fun. You want to visit my apartment? No, we'll check it out later.
Yeah, let's go over here,
Sam. That's hilarious because a lot of times people want to know how many dates in to bring up something embarrassing or something that the other partner eventually has to know. How do you ever bring up to a human that, hey, by the way, I'm a vampire?
Yeah,
at some point you
got
to tell them.
It doesn't go well.
No. That's
it really
funny.
Doesn't. I mean, it's disastrous. In fact, I mean, the fact is that this is a show that plays with those metaphors. Everyone has things about themselves that they're not exactly proud of. Well, these guys just have a lot.
Yeah. More than your typical person.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun and super well done on the Sci-Fi Channel. The show is called Being Human. It airs Monday nights. Hey, that's tonight at 9 on Sci-Fi. And you can catch up with the first two episodes of this season online at sci-fi.com as well. Sam, great to meet you, man. Congratulations on all your success. Thanks for coming in.
It's a lot of fun, guys. Thanks.
Only 6 days till the Puppy Bowl, Kevin. That's what everybody's talking about.
Shut
is the Puppy
up.
Bowl on Animal Planet at halftime of some football game also that's happening on Sunday. Our friend Andrew Siciliano joins us from the NFL Network and during the season, the Red Zone on DirecTV. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning.
Why do they still have the Pro Bowl, I'm wondering, again this year, Andrew?
The Pro Bowl. It's you know what? Here's the deal, and I'll be honest, and people are gonna sound like I'm a shill for the Pro Bowl, right? Do you like video games?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you like high scoring video games?
Yeah.
We're all reasonably young. Did we have fun playing high scoring video games as kids? And do kids still have fun doing that now?
Sure.
Okay. I think the game's fun. I'm the guy that likes the NBA All Star Game because it's the world's greatest pickup game. And sure, they're going to score 350 points, but it's fun because they're just throwing stuff off the backboard, and it's like everyone gets to be Blake Griffin for 48 minutes. I think the Pro Bowl is kind of fun that way too.
Rub on the Pro Bowl is that people aren't playing very hard because they don't want to get hurt, and it makes sense. You don't want somebody to have a career-ending injury in a pickup game, basically. This year, the word was just that the AFC sucks, right?
No, this year the word was, I don't know, they scored 97 combined points. It was like a couple of sugared-up 12-year-olds playing that. and I get it, and it was fun. The players afterwards, at least the ones that we had on NFL Network, two of them said, yes, you different. Yes, we heeded the call. Yes, we played harder. We took it more. We took the game more significantly. That remains to be seen. I mean, the commissioner has said I need to see an improvement of the game. Until we hear what the commissioner's thoughts were on the game, then you don't know. But the injury thing is certainly a concern. The injury and the quality of the product. You want to make sure you're putting a product out there.
Well, that was the thing I asked about because, you know, you and I had a conversation earlier in the season about whether Thursday night football was a significant step down in quality because you've got two teams playing who are not prepared to play because they've just played the Sunday before. And we wondered if that was hurting the brand a little bit. I wonder about the Pro Bowl that way, too, because you know, the last three weekends we've had fantastic playoff games. Next weekend we're going to have a great Super Bowl. In between,
you know what? You will be shocked, and I don't have the early numbers, but I remember last year, because last year was the one, people thought that it was the tipping point. Last year's Pro Bowl, oh, this thing was horrible. And then you looked at the number. You yes. looked at the rating, and you were blown away by it.
12 million, Andrew, 12 million.
12 million.
This year or last year?
This year, yesterday, no, yeah.
Yesterday, 12 million.
Wow.
Big numbers.
That's a big number.
That's a huge number. So they do it, somebody's making money.
And it shows you that on the one week in which there isn't a playoff game, we have a week off between the conference championship games and the Super Bowl, that people want the product. Now, is it worthy of a shield? Then that's what the commissioner and the owners and the players and the union have to figure out. I think the game is fun, but
okay,
you know,
all right, fair enough.
I watched it, but I was bored. and I'm an Arizona Cardinal fan, which, you know, we've been out of the playoff hunt since September. But
wasn't it nice to see a good quarterback throw to Larry?
I'm sure Larry enjoyed it.
All right, let's move on to this week. You told us some shocking number last week when we had you on about how many hours of programming the NFL Network was going to have this week that's Super Bowl related. What was that number, Andrew?
The number is 140 hours of coverage. And I don't know how they get to that number. I assume it is by counting up all the hours of coverage, actually. But it's 140 hours. We actually got that coverage rolling yesterday with live coverage of the San Francisco 49ers 747 touching down in New Orleans from San Jose.
Oh, thank God.
With the flag waving from the upper deck of
that. Oh, man, I missed that.
I had a lot of questions about how they arrived in New Orleans, so actually I was very happy to see that coverage provided.
It was a Delta charter, and it flew over seven states, 1,880 miles from San Jose to MSY to New Orleans, and then they have their press conferences afterwards, and we cover those live, and we'll do the same today at 1 o'clock Pacific.
Is it possible? Is it possible that there's too much coverage for the Super Bowl?
I will grant you that possibility.
It's possible.
However, let's go back to that Pro Bowl number again.
Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. You're a lot of football fans. Look, the NFL is the most popular thing in America. So, I mean, for people who want it, it's nice that there's a place that they can get it.
We always call it the world's greatest reality show, right? America's greatest reality show.
Right.
It's talented people doing semi-interesting things. Well, at the end of the year, you put the giant party and the ultimate test to determine champion, and you put it in New Orleans.
Yeah.
That's reality television.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, have you seen the late-breaking news that's tangentially related to your Super Bowl coverage that Michelle Williams of Destiny's Child says that they will not be reuniting for the Super Bowl halftime show, and it's just going to be Beyonce going solo? How are you going to handle that on the NFL Network today?
Wow, that is breaking news. I don't know what to do. I'm kind of flabbergasted. I did not know that there had been rumors of a Destiny's Child reunion.
No one did.
That's what they've been talking about. They've been talking about that a lot for the past few weeks.
So we're squashing the rumors that weren't rumors.
That's correct.
No, they were out there.
You know, that was stuff that you hadn't heard. It's not happening.
There was a set list online and all sorts of things.
Really?
Everybody thought Beyonce was going to do some numbers, then Destiny's Child was going to come out and do a little bit of a reunion. But apparently that's not happening, and I want you to get to the bottom of that today, Andrew. That's all I'm saying.
Can we have like an SWV reunion? They were my favorite.
All right. Are you going to have any time to check back with us maybe near the end of the week, and we can talk about the game itself?
Sure. Whatever you guys want. You let me know. You call me in New Orleans, and if I am not face down on Bourbon Street.
Oh, please.
Okay.
Like there's a chance of that.
I kid. We will be working. There will be no fun in any way, shape, or form.
Hey, while you're down there, ask for a flaming Dr. Pepper.
Am I allowed to ask?
Trust me.
Is that a sex move, Kevin, or is that a beverage?
No, it's a beverage, and it's quite delicious. And I've been face down in New Orleans many times that way.
Of course. Okay. I kid, of course. We are staying professional, Dr. Pepper or otherwise.
Okay.
All right. NFL Total Access airs Monday through Thursday at 4 on the NFL Network. But this week, screw that. Just have the NFL Network on all the time because you don't want to miss a thing. Andrew Siciliano, thanks for coming on today.
You got it.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53.
You just barely got that out, didn't you?
No. Frankie Edgar's in the next room. That's got me.
Is anyone uncomfortable with all the smack talking that Beer Mug is doing about Frankie Edgar through the glass when he knows he can't hear him?
He's taking like a few MMA classes, and all of a sudden he's saying all these rude things about
it.
Oh,
I could beat him up. I don't like it.
I don't care for
Frankie Edgar, he's a pussy, Beer Mug said loudly.
I'd kill him for a donut.
Several times. Just saying it's
going to
be
ugly.
How's
that diet going, Muggs? How's that diet working for you?
Not well.
Really? Mm-hmm. He said with his mouth full.
He says with his mouth full.
Well, Beer Mug will get pummeled by Frankie Edgar when he joins us coming up right after the top of the hour, talking about UFC 156 happening in Las Vegas on February 2nd, this Saturday night. Rob is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Monday. What's going on?
Because it is Monday, that means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office so you can see what your friends and neighbors are going to see in the movie theaters. They most of them went to see Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters, apparently. $19 million made it number one this weekend. Mama was number two at the box office.
Mama.
Silver Linings Playbook was third. Zero Dark Thirty and Parker rounding out the top five. Parker's the brand new movie with Jason Statham and J-Lo. I was surprised to see her taking sort of a supporting role to a Jason Statham action film.
Really?
But I guess maybe she can't be picky about her film roles these days. Django Unchained was sixth, then Movie 43, the cobbled-together, high-star-powered sketch comedy movie that some people were excited about, and then some people apparently not so excited about.
Well, the people who saw it are the ones who weren't excited about it.
$5 million made it number seven. Gangster Squad, Broken City, and Les Mis round out your top ten. Heard you guys talking to Andrew Siciliano.
Yes.
About the Pro Bowl.
Yes.
12 million viewers watched the Pro Bowl yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What being neglected to mention, and perhaps this is because of his unnatural love of the world's most boring sport, baseball.
Yeah.
More people than watch the World Series, by the way, watch the Pro Bowl.
Oh, look, really? There's no yeah. question that football is the most popular thing in America.
Biggest game in baseball, worst game in football, still beats it. That's an important distinction, I think, to make so that we know that baseball has to go. Baseball must go.
Well, I don't think that's going to happen.
The sport must be eliminated.
I'd be fine if it did, but I don't think you're going to get that.
Just, I would say just ice over all the baseball stadiums and just keep hockey. Just keep playing hockey outdoors in the summertime. Find a way, people. It's science. It's the 21st century. Let's find a way. Chelsea Handler is a talentless woman.
Right.
Not the word I usually use.
No, it isn't.
Nope.
But in this particular case. And she's just a rude, horrible, horrible person on every level. She's just a succubus. She's just a hideous, horrible, awful, awful person.
This is why...
Said Kevin Ryder.
This is why when I was at a party that she was at, I heard her say, that guy's an asshole. He talks bad about me all the time.
This guy talks all that crap about me on the radio.
It's not me.
It is. Kevin told me all those things about Chelsea.
But I'm used to having to put up with that because whatever Bean says, I get blamed for as well. So.
Need more proof? Star Magazine has a story this week. People at the Chateau Marmont were complaining that there in the hotel dining room, Chelsea let her dogs run rampant through the dining room people are eating their meals.
Oh, no.
Onlookers who were there say she never yelled at them, didn't try to rein them in, didn't try to keep them at her table, and no one at the hotel told her to control them.
What?
No one stepped in.
Why not?
Imagine you're eating a meal in a fancy schmancy hotel dining room, and these dogs are coming up yipping at you looking for scraps.
Bitch got no class.
What is this, France?
That's why I always carry a cattle prod, people. You never know when you might need one.
I've heard you say that a lot.
Just give one to a Yorkie. That's some fun right there. That's a good time. What kind of piece of garbage just lets her dogs run around in a restaurant?
I don't know. That is unusual.
Running from table to table. It isn't mortified. Isn't just, oh my God, I feel so horrible for what happened here. Let me rectify this somehow. No, she probably thinks it's fine because she's Chelsea Handler and her dogs can do whatever they want.
Sure. Hey, in her defense, she has a basic cable show.
Bitches Who Own Bitches on the next Geraldo. Geraldo still on the air?
Anybody? I don't think so.
Does he have a show?
No, he's not. He's radio only now.
Yeah, right. Good news. A lot of TV shows are going away, but they're being replaced by other shows that may be interesting.
I guess see the following. I like that. That's
a mid-season replacement.
That was good.
ABC has picked up a sitcom starring James Caan. I've been waiting for this guy to do a full-blown comedy. He's a funny, funny guy.
Is he?
Yeah, he's really funny.
Remember
him?
He
was hilarious in Elf.
Elf. He was great in Elf.
Oh, that's right.
He had some very funny moments in Las Vegas or Vegas, whatever that show was called. I think he has untapped comic potential. He's been known as a tough guy for so long in the movies. It could be very entertaining. He's a former baseball player whose daughter is a single mom, moves back in with him. And I think there's some real potential there. So it's good news for people who like funny. Did you guys watch any of the SAGs?
I did not.
I saw some of it.
I like the SAGs. It's a really stripped down award show. I mean, there's no singing and dancing. There's no host. There's no nothing. It's just boom. Just award
two
after
hours,
award.
In and out.
In and out. Tight 2 hours, and it's just the
saw
awards.
The pictures of Rihanna. She goes.
No, I didn't.
I didn't think that had anything to do with the SAG Awards.
Oh, I thought it was the SAG Awards.
I thought it was at the
SAG Awards. No, she wasn't at the SAG Awards. She was coming out of a nightclub in Hollywood.
Okay.
Yeah, it was nothing to do with the SAG Awards.
Sorry.
Thanks for your addition to the story, though.
I take it back.
That's okay.
Big winners in the TV and movie categories. What? What is this? Just chime in whatever you want, Howard? What the hell's going on with you people?
We're trying to help, Ralph. How's it going?
Doing Paul Moyer shtick. You're giving Rihanna updates, which is not even at the awards ceremony. What's going on? What is going on? The big winners last night. Four movies, Tommy Lee Jones, Anne Hathaway, Daniel Day-Lewis, and Jennifer Lawrence won for the supporting and leading actor roles, respectively. And Argo came in for best cast in a motion picture. For television, Tina Fey and Alec Baldwin both won for best female and male actor in a comedy series as they say goodbye to 30 Rock. Modern Family was the best comedy cast. According to SAG, Claire Danes and Bryan Cranston won for Homeland and Breaking Bad. And then Downton Abbey, season 2, won for best ensemble in a drama series, which I think is BS. Because it's not even SAG, man. It's whatever that British Equity Union is, or whatever they do over there in England, making their little TV shows. And then we bring it over here and put it on our TV shows, and then they take our women and take our awards. Close the borders, man.
Ralph has spoken.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Arielle Winter is 15 years old today. She is from the cast of Modern Family that won the SAG Award last night. J. Cole, the rapper, is 28. Elijah Wood, Lord of the Rings, and Wilfred, he is 32 years old. Sarah McLachlan, singer and songwriter, and Lilith Fair Staples, 45 years old. And Alan Alda from MASH turned 77 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show biz.
Beer Mug, now that he's in the room, you got anything you want to say in person to Frankie Edgar? Because you had a lot to say when he was on the other side of the glass.
Only that he's the best UFC fighter ever.
Frankie Edgar, UFC 156 this Saturday night in Las Vegas. How are you, sir? Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Doing well. Thanks for having me, guys.
You bet.
Good to see you. I can't even imagine. Of course, you've been through it many times before, but I can't even imagine what it's like knowing 6 days from now you're going to go into a ring with a guy like Jose Aldo. That does not look like a fun way to make a living, my friend.
Yeah, I'm used to it at this point. You know, this being my seventh title fight in a row, I'm excited to get in there and mix it up with him.
Is it a matter of just calming the nerves? It's not that you're nervous, but you want to get in and get it going, I imagine.
Yeah, you absolutely do.
Because you must train for months and months and months and just lead up to that one, moment.
Yeah, it's definitely a whole build up to, just one moment. And, you're excited to get in there, get it over with. But I wouldn't want to be anywhere else at that moment, because all the training and time we put in, we want to make it all work.
I'd like to be in the stands. That's all I want. I don't want to be in the ring. I don't want to be in the ring at all.
There are a lot of reasons why this is the matchup the fans have been waiting for. I mean, for starters, the fact that neither one of you guys has ever been knocked out. I mean, you don't get a chance to see that very often.
Yeah, it's the fans, Dana, media has been calling for this fight for quite a while. I've been at 155. People are telling me to go down to 45, and here I am. So everybody's gonna get what they want.
Why do that?
For me, it's just my last two fights didn't go the way I wanted to. Controversial or not, just didn't the outcome wasn't the way I wanted. So I just felt the time was right to make a different landscape, something different.
But I would look down to 145 and I would go, is there anyone really good there? No? Okay, I'll go down. But Jose Aldo is there, and you're fine with that. You want to take the belt at that level.
Yeah, I get into the sport, to challenge myself. And, Jose Aldo is the biggest challenger at 145. He's pound for pound one of the best fighters we have in UFC. And, I want that spot.
How much do you study him and his fighting techniques and past fights and stuff?
I've always been a fan of him, so I know what he's all about. I let my team do more of the studying. They force me to watch tape, and I'll watch tape, but I don't overemphasize anything. I try to worry about what I do and just execute my game plan.
Now, one of the great things about your game, Frankie, is that you are excellent on the ground. You're an amazing grappler and wrestler and whatnot. Josie doesn't go down to the ground, though. He stays standing up all the time, it seems like, right? Is that going to be a real difference of technique?
Yeah, my last couple of fights, I've been, I stand up a lot, too. So, I mean, at this point in the game, you get to the levels that we're at, you have to be good everywhere. You have to be able to stand up. You have to be able to transition to takedowns and then be able to put it together on the ground. So wherever it may go, that's where I gotta be.
You'll be fine wherever he ends up fighting it.
Yeah, you know, I'm gonna definitely try to push it to where I want it to be. But you know, if it doesn't happen that way, I gotta be ready for you know, whatever comes my way.
I saw some guys being interviewed over the weekend who were talking about, in particular, his leg kicks are among the most devastating in the sport. I mean, look, you've certainly been responsible for plenty of leg kicks, and then you've taken a few. But what would make it harder than anybody else's leg kick? I mean, is it just how hard he kicks?
Yeah, I think it has to do with that, his speed, his explosiveness. You know, something we've been aware of this whole camp. I brought in guys to try to emulate him as best we can. But, you know, you're not going to really be able to tell his speed and his range until I get in there. So
when you're in the ring and people start leg kicking you, it seems like there's some fighters are just fine with it. They just choose to ignore it. And look for an opening or whatever, but they just go, well, I'm not even going to try and check it. I'm just going to let him kick my leg.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you
can
only...
It seems like that's a bad choice.
Yeah. I think you can only get away with that a couple times, you know. You got to give him a reason not to want to throw them kicks, and that's the game plan.
My follow-up to Kevin's question is, mentally, how do you handle the pain? Because even though you're in the fight and you're standing and you're doing well, you get hit and you get hurt, and do you have some sort of a technique where you're able to block it out and focus on the task at hand?
Yeah, for me, I've been in some bad spots in some previous
fights.
Yes, you
have. And I look at it and I go, wow, he's going down. And then somehow.
Yeah, you know, I don't remember it or I don't feel it. You know, one or the other. So I guess it's good if I don't remember, because I don't remember what it feels like. But
you don't have any memories of being in real trouble?
You know, you do. And you just, you know, try to take a deep breath and collect your ball bearings, I guess, and just get back in there.
I just know that for most regular people, and you guys are such exceptional athletes in the training and the preparedness, you know how to handle it. But for most regular people, any one of the 20 things that happened to you in the course of the octagon that night would be enough to make us run out of the arena and into our cars. We would just turn and that hurts so bad, I can't go on. I need to go in a room and cry.
Yeah, you know, sometimes we feel like that. You just can't let the other guy see that, though, you know.
Which is the fight that you were convinced the most that you were in trouble? I mean, do you admit to yourself, wow, I'm in trouble here?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You do.
I mean, when you're in some spots where you're a little dazed, everything's kind of looking a little dizzy.
And you're dazed,
yeah,
and you got to kind of
get
yourself back up.
Yeah, you got to see what you could do. I think probably my second fight with Gray Maynard, I was in a bad spot for a pretty big portion of the first round. You know, I was knocked down, you know, quite a few times. So, you know, coming back from that was...
And that's shocking. And that's when you watch that and you go, this guy's done.
Yeah.
And then, no, you're not. And that's just amazing.
Yeah, I'm impressed with myself at times.
Frankie Edgar is in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about one of the great fights this weekend. UFC 156 is in Las Vegas. By the way, tickets are still available at Ticketmaster.com. And of course, if you're not going to be in Las Vegas for Super Bowl weekend, you can see it on pay-per-view. Let me go back to just for a second before the break about the weight thing. Most of us, if we're 10 pounds difference, don't feel all that different. Is it a huge difference to fight at 155 versus 145?
You know, I don't know. I haven't fought at 45 yet, so, you know, guys that I didn't typically cut any weight for 155. You know, I weighed about 155, maybe 158, where most guys come down from 80, down to 55.
Yeah.
And then even guys for 45 coming down from 70. You know,
that's always dangerous, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah, you know, it's dangerous, and it depends how you look at it. You know, they're going to be a little bit bigger, but they also had to cut that weight. So, you know, I'm going down a weight class, but Jose Aldo is probably actually cutting more weight than I am. So,
but you feel good at this at 145?
I feel great, yeah. All the weight cut did is made me pay more attention when I put my body to this camp, and I feel like I feel stronger and faster and quicker and everything. So,
well, it's going to be a great fight, and it's going to be Super Bowl weekend, like we said. You got Saturday night, the UFC, and then Sunday you got the Super Bowl. We'll take a break, and we will come back. Frankie Edgar is in the studio with us right now.
Former UFC lightweight champion Frankie Edgar in studio with us here on the Kevin Amin Show on Twitter at Frankie Edgar. FrankEdgar.com is the website, and UFC 156 is coming up this Saturday night. Frankie, I know we've had you on the show on the phone a couple times before. It's great to have you in studio, first of all. Let me thank you for that. But I don't think I ever asked you how you ended up getting started. As a little guy, did you just kind of learn fighting as self-defense mechanism?
No, you know, I grew up in Jersey and...
enough said.
Yeah, enough said. And, you know, we had the seaside boardwalk and, you know, right, you know, if you guys watch the Jersey Shore, so you can see the types of people that graced that boardwalk. So,
sure.
You know, fighting is kind of a part of the culture. And, you know, I grew up wrestling, so I definitely had the combat sports, you know, ingrained in me since I was young.
Is that one of those things where you saw the UFC and you said wrestling seems to be a pretty basic thing that you have to have?
Yeah, absolutely. I remember watching, I think, the first or second UFC, you know, it was, you know, Hoist Gracie, Shamrock, and Dan Severn was the wrestler, and he always did well. I'm like, wow, you know, that's pretty cool. It's something I do.
I could do that.
Doing it. And then it kind of went underground for a while. Then the Ultimate Fighter show came on my senior year of wrestling, and seen some wrestlers doing well, and I thought, you know, it'd be you know, an avenue I could continue to compete.
And it's so awesome because you were the right guy with the right set of skills in the right place in history to be able to make a career out of it. Otherwise, there's not really any place to go for a wrestler after high school, right?
Exactly. Yeah, it's tough. You know, if you want to compete after college, you got to pretty much try for the Olympics and kind of go that route. And
you don't make any money doing that.
Yeah, you know, unless you're the best guy in the world, it's tough to make money.
So. Yeah. What's Vegas like the week of the fight? Especially this week, or the week of Super Bowls as well. You're going there when? Tonight? Tomorrow?
Yeah, I'll be there tonight. My first fight ever for the UFC was Super Bowl weekend 7 years ago.
Is that right?
Yeah, this weekend.
Wow.
So, it's crazy. You know, Vegas is crazy enough. Add UFC and Super Bowl weekend just makes that all that crazy.
Is it difficult for you to be, it's not difficult for you to be good. It is for me. I have to leave Vegas after 2 days or I'll die. Those are my options. But you were fighting, so you're keeping that in the forefront. Can you do anything else? Do you gamble?
Nah, I'm not really a big gambler. You know, maybe I'll throw like $20 in a Wheel of Fortune machine or something like that. But that's about the extent of it.
But you have to be, like Kevin said, there have to be so many distractions, though, particularly with all the people. And I'm sure you got a lot of friends and people that are in town. And somebody's going to be calling you up in the room going, dude, you don't fight for 4 days. Let's go to the Crazy Horse. Come on.
Yeah, no. Everyone knows that it's game time this week, so they leave me alone and that, about that stuff.
You've taught them all?
Yeah. They know the deal.
And you have your family come with you, we were talking about during
that
song?
Yeah, my parents come out, my wife, and my rest of my team. A lot of good friends from Tom's River back home.
Tell me what it's like to be the wife of a UFC fighter. All I know is from the Rocky movies, it looks miserable being the spouse when you watch your husband up there getting pounced.
Yeah, my wife, she's a trooper. You know, I remember when we dated in college, and after college, I think she thought, you know, competitively I was done, and then, you know, I sucked her right back in with this fighting career. So she's a trooper, though, for sure.
Is she looking forward to the day where you are done, though, where you know, survive the sport, you retire, and you're healthy?
I'm sure she is, yeah. I'm sure she wants the normalcy back in her life a little bit.
Sure. She pictures herself in the future just feeding you applesauce or something. While you drool.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe she'll like that a little bit. She'll roll me down the hill or something, you know?
We're talking about this Saturday night, UFC 156, Aldo versus Edgar, is just one of the great fights on the card at the Mandalay Bay Event Center. Tickets available through Ticketmaster.com. Of course, on pay-per-view, you can see the later fights, and the earlier stuff is on FX, I think. Who else is on the card that you're excited about, like you have time to watch anything else that night?
Yeah, well, you know, Rashad Evans is fighting Little Noguera, and Alistair Overeem is fighting Bigfoot. So, you know,
nice.
some pretty big names right there.
Do you watch any of that leading up to your fight?
Yeah, you know, I'm a fight fan. I do watch. I probably watch less now just because it's, you know, so much fighting's my whole life. But I'm still a fight fan, even a boxing fan, too.
But the night of, do you?
Well, no. Usually I'm in the back. You know, they have a monitor in the room. We're warming up. I'm just kind of watching to see when's it over and when am I up next.
Because right.
My past couple, I've been the last fight. So you kind of just want them to hurry up and get done.
How much does it change? How could it be an hour or two difference?
No, you know, usually around give or take, you know, a half hour when you're going to fight.
What's your entrance music, Frankie?
Kick in the Door by Biggie Smalls.
Sweet.
Nice. Kevin, now, who's the one guy? Do you remember the one guy we made fun of who had like the most horrible like country song that he came out with? And it just didn't even make any sense.
Yeah, I can't remember who it was.
It was like the music that least pumps you up in the
but
world.
I think
this
it was
guy
like
was coming out
DMX
with.
Doing a country song. Oh, some, man. I don't know. It was really effed up. Do you pick? You get to pick that song?
Yeah, I've used this song for the last several, so it's kind of just stuck with me now.
Can you hear the crowd when you're fighting?
You can at times.
Just
I try to
noise or
more
tell who they're rooting for?
Yeah, well, sometimes, you know, sometimes I'll hear the whole crowd start chanting my name. You know, that
you hear that. That gets
through. Yeah. Sometimes you can't help it. You know, the whole place is going. You definitely feel it. But I try to zero in on my corner mostly.
What about your opponent's corner? Because they're shouting
direction. Yeah, I do.
You'd think you'd be able to hear it and know what's coming.
I do try to pick up sometimes on some of the stuff they do. I'll be hearing Portuguese this time around, so I have to learn some Portuguese.
That's not going to help you, right?
You need an interpreter shouting what they're shouting.
Will you feel a little bit of the home court advantage? You know, the USA chants are going to break out at some point, right?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, Jose's he's been a mainstay.
He's popular.
He's a popular guy, and Vegas is kind of, I feel, neutral territory. If you're fighting in Jersey, I'd say yeah, for sure.
Right.
Totally. Or if we're fighting in Brazil, I'd definitely be in enemy territory. But, you know, I kind of feel like Vegas is always news territory for most fights.
Are you just at this point, like Kevin said when you sat down, you just want to just get there? Like, make it be Saturday night. Are you ready, like, right now just to go in there and put some hurt on this dude?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, as soon as you find out who you're fighting, you start thinking about this guy every day. I'm ready to be done thinking about
him. How long ago
did
you?
Well, we were supposed to fight in October, actually. He was supposed to fight a guy. The guy got hurt. I took his spot, and then he ended up getting hurt. So that's why I pushed it to now. So, I've been thinking about him, you know, every day since then.
There's a lot of there's a lot of injuries in just working out, isn't there?
Yeah, ready, you know,
because you're serious about.
Yeah, you got to train hard to prepare for a fight of this magnitude, and anything can happen. So,
that's one of the things about UFC 156 is everybody on the bill in every fight is healthy. So
let's not jinx us yet. You know, we still got a week.
That's true. Well, don't get hurt, Frankie. Seriously, stay alive and stay well between now and Saturday night. We're very excited to meet you in person. We're very excited about UFC 156. It looks like it's going to be awesome, and man, I hope you win.
Guys, thanks so much. Had a blast.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
By the way, congratulations to all of our winners for qualifying for K-Rock's World Tour 2013 Destination Number 4, Mumford & Sons in Amsterdam. We did it just a few minutes ago here on the Kevin Amin Show, and will every day this week at 9:10. You can also qualify at 12:10, 3:10, and 6:10 by winning the latest Mumford album called Babel, and get on the standby boarding list. Details at krock.com. Hi, Ralph Garman.
Hello.
What's going on?
Not much. Finally got around over the weekend to catching up with the Fringe finale. I just kind of set it aside on my DVR. It was a two-hour-long finale, so I had, you know, it's crazy around the house with the little kids and stuff going on. So I said, I'm going to put this aside until I really can just settle down and just focus in and just watch it and savor it. Did anybody else watch
it? I did see it, yeah.
It destroyed me. I was destroyed. I cried like a bitch for the last hour of the show. It was devastating.
It's emotional.
Not emotional. It's devastating. No one warned me that this series finale was going to rip my heart out and stomp all over it. What the hell?
Yeah.
Devastating.
Yeah.
Still recovering from the Fringe finale. Holy moly. Thank God.
Joshua Jackson, by the way, did tell us that it was
going to... He kind of gave us a heads up, but I had no idea. I had no idea what they were going to do to me.
Yeah.
So it's difficult to do a series finale on a beloved show like this. Were you completely satisfied, Ralph?
99% satisfied.
Wow. That's a win then. Yeah. That's a win.
I won a little hitch with a time travel question. I had a time travel moment where I had a problem. It's like, but how can... But he... If he... Wait, if they go back, okay. Now they're at this point now. It was one of those things where I had a little debate with myself. But other than that, emotionally, couldn't ask for a more satisfying ending to it.
Yeah, it was
to a great, great TV series. I really enjoyed it. So
there's kind of two parts. There was the storyline, and there was the characters, the people there.
Yeah, yeah. So. And at the end of a series, if it's good, and if you've really enjoyed it, like I've enjoyed Fringe over the years, you get attached to those characters. So it's difficult to say goodbye in the best of situations. But then when they just kick you right in the gonads every chance they get emotionally, it's like, wow.
It was an emotional ball shot.
Wow. Wow. Anyway, that's my late review of the Fringe finale
from 2 weeks ago.
In case anybody else like me is just catching up. Dave hasn't even seen it yet. I was like, Dave, this weekend I saw the Fringe. I'm like, what did you think? Oh, I'm like 5 episodes between.
By the way, that means he hasn't watched one of the single series yet.
Yeah, he's a little behind. All right, let's talk about the weekend's movies at the box office, as we do every Monday. Hansel and Gretel, Witch Hunters, number one at the box office this weekend with $19 million. Mama was second, then Silver Linings Playbook, Zero Dark Thirty, and the new movie Parker rounding out the top five. Django Unchained was sixth, Movie 43 was seventh, Gangster Squad, Broken City, and Les Miserables closing out top 10 list. I was surprised last night at the SAG Awards. I thought for sure that Jackman was going to win for Best Actor in a Leading Role.
For Les Mis, yeah,
I really thought so. Especially when I saw Anne Hathaway get it for Best Supporting Role for a female actor in that film. But Daniel Day-Lewis, as expected, stepped up and snagged the coveted award for his role as Abraham Lincoln in Lincoln. Great speech by Daniel Day-Lewis, by the way. Very touching. And sure was. My favorite moment was like, I realized that Abraham Lincoln was, in fact, killed by an actor. Everybody started to laugh. He said, so I think it's only fitting that every once in a while one of us tries to bring him back to life. That's a great line.
Did you notice, Ralph, that Daniel Day-Lewis got a standing ovation from the other actors in the room?
Yeah, yeah.
There were only two. There was him and Dick Van Dyke both got standing
ovations. Only two actors in the room?
No. That got standing ovations. Oh. And what a testament to a contemporary actor, though, that he gets a standing ovation just for stepping up there and
it's for a body of work, too. I mean,
it is. I mean, but everybody idolizes this guy. There's not an actor in the room who doesn't look at Daniel Day-Lewis and go, he can do things genius. That no one else can do. He may be the best actor in the world, right?
Yeah, maybe. Even if all he did was Lincoln and My Left Foot, just those two performances, you'd have to say, this guy is unnatural.
Yep.
Unnatural.
It doesn't happen that way.
And There Will Be Blood, you look at that and go, if that's the only thing he ever did, he would be one of the greatest actors of all time. He's just a miracle. Gangs of
I
New York.
Drink your milkshake.
He's just never misses.
Yeah. Tommy Lee Jones won for Best Supporting Actor for Lincoln. Argo was the best cast in a motion picture. When it came to TV, the best cast in a comedy was Modern Family. The best cast in a drama, according to the SAG Awards, Downton Abbey Season 2. Actor and actress in a drama series went to Claire Danes for her work in Homeland and Bryan Cranston for Breaking Bad. Tina Fey and Alec Baldwin won for those roles in comedy. So congratulations to all the winners. And as being mentioned, Dick Van Dyke won the Icon Lifetime Achievement Award. I don't know what this network is. It's called MeTV. Anybody see this? MeTV?
Yeah, yeah.
I've seen it, but I don't know what it is.
It's basically what TV Land used to be. It just reruns old shows, basically.
And basically, it's a network of independent channels around the country. Like, if you've got an independent channel in your city, you can sign up and run their programming, basically.
But I caught one of the old Dick Van Dyke shows the other day. I was flashing around, and I caught it. And I found myself laughing out loud. It's amazing. It's like a 40-year-old TV show, and it still holds up. It's one of the great sitcoms of all time. So now I got a DVR. So I got more stuff that I'll never watch.
Yeah.
Now
give us a review of that in about 2 years.
Let me tell you about the show called The Dick Van Dyke Show. It's really good.
You guys should have watched.
He's a comedy writer for a television show. I don't know. Where's this guy been, this Dick Van Dyke?
And by the way, it's a perfect example of one of the greatest shows of all time. There's no way you could get Kevin to watch that show. There's nothing you could say that could get him to watch it because it was made
That's
before this year.
That's very
How does
true.
It get turned around on me? We were having a great conversation.
He brings up a good point that as good as it is, although I rave about it, you'll never see an episode.
You'll
of that
never
show.
Watch it because it's old and it must suck.
Yeah. It's not just that it's old and it must suck, but there's
you're
two.
You're a very busy man.
I can't keep up with what's new.
I know. You're a busy man.
But I guarantee it's better than many things that you're watching that are on the air now, is my point.
I drink your milkshake.
Like that. I still haven't seen that.
Ty.
Ronding Bingenheimer is Daniel Day-Lewis in. This is what happens. This is what happens, people.
What happens?
You can't keep it in your pants.
Uh-oh.
Rupert Sanders was the man who had the little affair with his star, Kristen Stewart, there when they were making Snow White and the Huntsman. Very public disaster for both of them. And now it has cost the director, Rupert Sanders, his marriage to his model wife, Liberty Ross. She filed for divorce last Friday, and it's all over. And then to put a little icing on that cake, she also released a series of very naked photos of her that she will appear soon in an issue of Love magazine. Very, very artistically done, beautiful black and white photos of her just being naked and hot.
Just saying, I just want you to know what you're giving
Not
up.
Not only am I going to take your money, but you're never going to see this again, is what the message was from Liberty Ross. So.
But he can still go back to that boy.
No, the boy now has moved back in with her boy.
Oh, okay.
So now she's back with her boyfriend. So the cheese stands alone.
Yeah.
As we say in elementary school. Today's celebrity birthdays, Alan Alda is 33 years old. He was on MASH. You ever see that show, Kevin? MASH, very popular sitcom called MASH.
I may
MASH.
Have watched that a couple times.
Really?
Yeah.
You may have seen that?
I may have. I don't know. I don't remember.
You are priceless. Elijah Wood from The Lord of the Rings and Wilford is 32 years old. Joey Fatone, who was in NSYNC for many years, and now just seems to keep showing up on my television, and I can't explain why.
He is
36 years old. Ariel Winter, big award winner last night from the SAG Awards. Her Modern Family castmates celebrated the big win. She is 15 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, we have, what's this TV show? The Joe Schmo Show.
Oh!
We have Joe Newman.
Yes, who plays Carly the Deaf Girl on The Joe Schmo Show.
Can't wait to ask her. That must be so unbelievably difficult.
It's not a great interview being deaf and all, Kevin. I got to warn you.
She's not deaf, though, Ralph.
I have no idea what I'm going to know.
You should know. She's just an actress playing a role.
She fooled me this whole time.
You got Left at the Altar. We're going to take your phone calls. We have tickets for the Sound City premiere, which is the Dave Grohl movie and concert. And we have, Brooklyn Decker.
What the what?
On tomorrow morning's Kevin.